Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to National Liberty Alliance, first broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio. Gerard, can you hear me? Am I coming through? Okay, I guess I'm broadcasting.
You're coming through. I can hear you.
Okay. So I guess we're going to stumble around on this first show a little bit, but let me see if I could see in the chat room. Are you in the chat room? Have you been able to connect to the chat room, Gerard?
I'm in the small chat room.
Okay, can they hear me?
There, yeah.
They're saying they hear me. Okay. All right, well, let me go forward then. Tonight we're going to be looking at the cold reality and the only solution, which is obviously what we're doing here with the grand juries throughout the nation. The enemy of liberty has brought us the SAFE Act, the Patriot Act, NAFA, CAFA, NDAA, Obamacare, the Federal Reserve, Homeland Security, Agenda 21, GMOs, fluoride, Too Big to Fail, Admiralty Law, Martial Law, Judicial Corruption, Political Corruption, Constitutional Crisis, Monetary Crisis, Corporatism, and 383,000 foreign troops on American soil as we speak. And they brought, of course, the New World Order. And this is just to name a few, and it's no wonder America is so apathetic. Anyway, the lead-in song, I don't know if you heard this, that I had chosen. I was looking around for an intro song to start our first call, and I found a short musical clip, and the name of it was Apathy is Over. So I thought that was kind of appropriate, and that was that lead-in song. But anyway, we need to obviously be doing something, and common law grand jury seems to be the only possible solution. I know we've looked at a lot of different things over the years, and everything comes to a dead end, and you can't get you can't seem to get control back of our government, no matter what we do. Even trying to elect people, that's almost an impossible task altogether. You know, Ron Paul said that truth is treason in an empire of lies. Benjamin Franklin said, people willing to trade their freedom for temporary security deserves neither, and will lose both. But George Washington told us, government is not reasoned, it is not eloquent, it is a force like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. James Madison said, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments by those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Boy, if that one isn't true. And Thomas Jefferson said, if the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on a continent their fathers conquered. And that's exactly where we are today. We are pretty much homeless on the continent that our founding fathers have conquered. And we need to do something about this, and the only solution is the constitution of the common law grand juries in all 3,141 American counties. One for every trial court in America, This is the work that the people have to do. Let me read this on the Constitution of a common law grand jury. Insomuch as for the sake of God, for the bettering of our sovereignty, and for the more ready healing of the discord which has arisen between us and our civil servants, wishing to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and secure the blessings of liberty to enjoy forever in its entirety, the people may select at their pleasure 25 people from the sovereignty who ought, with all their strength, to observe, maintain, and cause to be observed the peace and the unalienable rights. If any of our civil servants shall have transgressed against any of the people in any respect, and they shall ask us to cause that error to be amended without delay, or shall have broke someone of the articles of peace or security, and their transgression shall have been shown to four jurors of the aforesaid 25, and if those four are unable to settle the transgression, they shall come to the 25, showing to the grand jury the error which shall be enforced by the law of the land. Now that comes from Magna Carta, June 15, 1215, paragraph 61. Of course, we took out the old English and we put in more modern English. And this is pretty much what we have on our papers when we file for the constitution of constituting of a common law grand jury in the various counties that we've already started in. You know, here in New York, we now have 21 common law grand juries in 21 counties, and we're working in 48 of the 50 states. And tonight, we want to take a look and discuss particularly the duties of the common law grand jury, and ultimately the administrators. And it's important to know the difference between being an administrator and being a jurist. Before people for each county that put this process together and want to put in full-time work into the system, they would be called administrators. And there will be times when they will be sitting on the grand jury, but they do have a lot of work to do and a lot of investigative work to do. And, of course, there are certain juries they might want to sit on. As far as the grand jury is concerned, they're unable to sit on a trial jury because they're already biased. If they're going to send it in to the trial, they already believe the people are all in likelihood guilty, so obviously you can't sit on to the trial jury. But generally speaking, we need to call together or impanel the grand jury. That's the job of the four administrators. And again, it's a full-time job, and it does pay a salary, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But tonight it's very important that we understand what the jobs are. A lot of people are confused on what an administrator is and what an administrator does and how they come to play with the grand jury in itself as far as sitting on that grand jury. So up on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org, if you go up there and you click on Juris Documents and Services, you will see, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see administrators' duties, okay? Now, we're going to put up a zip file eventually. We didn't get one up yet, but that zip file will probably be available on our new site, and we are constructing the new site right now. There's a good chance by next Monday that site might be up. I know I'm going to be working day and night on it, and, you know, we've got some people that we paid to do work on this, so we should hopefully get it up by next Monday, but if not, shortly thereafter. And next week, maybe we'll talk a little more about the website and the specifics until we really get it constructed. We're not sure what's going to be available in the beginning and what we're going to have to be working towards. But anyway, that document that I just mentioned, if you want to go up there and take that document down, that's what we're going to read through and talk a little bit about tonight. And when we open up the lines for conversations, I'd like to stay as much as we can on this particular subject. Of course, we're open to any conversation and any questions people might have, but I'd like to spend a little time to make sure people get clear into their minds what exactly is an administrator and what do they do. Some people think that they have to write rules and some kind of a plan for the people to follow, and that's not true. We do have to have a plan, and we do have to have guidelines. And the guidelines are principles. We spoke about those principles, which we'll cover a little later on as we go through this paper. But there are three principles, and there are two maxims that guide us through the system, and that's what every jurist must know. And that's all they need to know. Everything else is whatever it is that's at hand, whatever it is that they're looking at. Obviously, common sense plays an important role, and the application of those principles. And really, you're there to judge not only the facts, but the law itself. And the law that we're interested in is common law, also called natural law. But anyway, let me start off reading through this paper. And There are four administrators, and this is something new we added. The more and more we looked at the problem, we realized that we have to have a secretary that is hired for the sole purpose of a secretary. So we got to hire a secretary that could take care of all the secretarial work and also answer the phones when we're not available to answer those phones, and to keep all the paperwork and whatever monies might be spent, keep all that in order and maintain the control of that stuff. So the personnel for every county that is needed, four administrators and one skilled secretary. If the workload requires more people, then you'd have to add more people. I would imagine a place like New York City, for instance, Manhattan, or any of the five boroughs down there, they might need two secretaries. They'll have to figure that out as they go along. Four administrators may not be enough. They may need five, six, or seven, or even eight administrators. But generally speaking, I think most counties could probably work this out with four administrators. And again, if there's not that much work going on in one county, and everybody should have a minimum of four administrators and one secretary. If one county is kind of slow and you have a county next door that has a little more work, I mean, you can help out with that county and maintain whatever processes need to be worked on. These salaries, we've come up with an idea of salaries for these jobs, and again, each area has got to figure this out for themselves and tweak it. It should be a professional salary. Anybody who is considering to become an administrator, they need to understand it's a full-time job, 40 hours a week. It'll be a paid job, of course, as we're going to discuss that in a minute. But they also have to be willing to bone up on all of the necessary skills. They have to know common law. They have to study. They don't have to know it when they come in, but they need to be working on it now if this is their plan to do these things. They have to go through common law. They have to know American history. They have to know court access, the process, the procedures. On our new website, we're going to have a tab called Jurist, and that'll be only available to people who sign in. There are a few tabs that people will not see if they're not signed in, but once you're signed in, then you'll have all the tabs. And one is called Jurist. And there's probably going to be, 16 or 17 categories under that Jurist. That's the things that we all have to come to an appreciation of. We have to understand these things. We have to know common law. We have to know the Constitution. And we have to continually bone up on these things. And like anything else, the more time you spend around these things is we have a lot of audio and a lot of video, and of course we have reading too, but we are heavy on audio. But the more time you spend around these things, reading, listening, watching, the better you'll be to be able to understand it. Eventually it'll just kind of click in you and you'll be able to spill it out. In the beginning, some things may be a little difficult because you really, it's like a puzzle. You're putting things together. But we have to work on these things, and we have to be able to understand the process and the procedures, because generally speaking, the people who are coming in, who will be called in as grand jurist or as trial jurist, you'll have to put them through an orientation, to prepare them, the mindset that they're going to need before they're able to sit as a jurist. And they have to understand what their responsibilities are and what principles they need to be led by. They have to understand the two major maxims. And they have to know that they are to judge both facts and law. And we have to be available for them anytime they need us. So let me go through these things and we'll discuss a little more of the details. But these salaries, I'm figuring the setting the salary somewhere between, for a secretary, $600 to $900 a week. And again, it depends on your area. Obviously, if you're living in New York City, the cost of living is much higher than you are if you're living in the country. So people are going to have to figure that out on their own. That individual secretary would be working 40 hours a week. Then there are the administrators, and the administrator salaries probably should come in somewhere between $900 and $1,600 a week. And, of course, there would be benefits, and we'd have to work that out. We can look into the system on how things work right now and see what kind of salaries go to the people that are already working this process for the court or for the prosecutor. I know here in New York, the court systems handle the administration and the calling together of the trial jury, whereas in the grand jury, that's handled by the prosecutors. So they both already have budgets, and those budgets, you know, you have to really put them both together because we're going to be dealing with both the trial and the grand jury. And so we'll be administrating all those processes. And I am absolutely sure that we will be able to operate at a much lower cost to the people than they are. But again, people will have to look to see what the professional salaries are in their neighborhood. Now, the budget, this is kind of a budget I kind of threw together. I think it's kind of standard. Again, down in the city, I think it's going to be a lot more. And in the more rural places, it'll be probably a little less. And this is all written up on these papers. If you want to go out to the website right now and get a copy of this, again, the grand jury administrative duties on our documents page. The salaries and benefits, I'm assuming five people per year, should come out to about $420,000. Office equipment, stationery, including a digital projector, somewhere around $20,000. Traveling expenses, I threw in $5,000. And jurist pay, I threw in $500,000. For a total projected budget of $945,000. So that's what we're suggesting. Again, you know, in the city, you're going to have to maybe go up 20-30%. Out in the more rural areas, you may come down 30%. But it'll be a budget. It'll be you'll put it in with the controller, and the funds should be allocated, and the secretary would handle all of the paperwork and the writing of the checks. As far as the signing of the checks, one of the administrators should be a signature. I don't know that you want to make all four. I think one is sufficient. And, of course, everything would be accounted for. We're going to work out probably common law trust in order to put the money in to get a bank account. We'll discuss that as we get a little further on. I do have some information on how to create a common law trust, and I know some other people who have some information, so we'll figure that out and we'll write that up, how that works. Now, one of the big things is the grand jury room. We've been hearing from different people that some courts don't have grand jury rooms. We heard that, I think it was in Orange County here in New York, said they didn't have a grand jury room. It's down the block somewhere. Well, the grand jury is supposed to be operating out of the courthouse. So we're not going to accept anything less. That's their problem. They're going to have to make the accommodations for us. But once we get in, we'll work that out with them. I got to believe in a lot of cases, if not all cases, probably the prosecutor's office probably has taken up those rooms because at some point they had them. Let me read what I wrote down here. If the court has no grand jury room, we will require them to construct one. The grand juries must operate in the courthouse and under the judicial auspices. Most of the courthouses were built years ago when they did have a grand jury room. They probably gave that room to the county prosecutor and their hired help. They can evict them. They can find an office outside the courthouse. It's not necessary for them to be in the courthouse. And a lot of their work is going to disappear because, you know, right now they're handling a lot of the work of the grand jury. When they go for a conviction, and they go to bring them before the grand jury, even after they brought them before the grand jury, sometimes they'll work a deal out with them. That's not their job to work a deal out with them. That's the people's job. We're the ones that's supposed to negotiate a situation and find a fair deal that takes care of the injured party and not the state. And they're interested only in putting people in jail because there's money in putting people into jail. One day maybe we'll talk about where that money comes from, but there is money in putting people in jail. And also, of course, you know, it gives them the whole authority, and the state, you know, they benefit. But the people, the injured parties, they never benefit. Gerard, you might want to click on mute your mic while we're talking here. But anyway, let's see where we're at. We will also need office space for the. No, I can hear you right now. You probably use Skype mic. I'm hearing you through here. Oh, you're coming through the system. All right. Anyway, since the court and the prosecutors will no longer handle the jury administration, an office should not be hard to find. Oh, I missed the sentence. We will also need office space for the grand jury secretary and administrators. since the court and the prosecutors will no longer handle the jury administration, an office should not be too hard to find. Again, they already have people doing this work, so they should have a place for us. And it would be okay if the secretary was sitting in, or even if we were sitting in to some degree with other people in a larger office. It doesn't matter to us, as long as we have a place, so to speak, to make phone calls, answer the phones, and do a little computer work or whatever. If we have to have a discussion, we can go into a conference room and have a discussion somewhere. And a lot of our work may be done actually from our homes, too. We may do a lot of it over the computer, maybe through Skype or some other, communicational program. Education of the administrators. It's self-education. You must become familiar inside and out with all the subject matters, as I mentioned earlier, under the Juris Tabs on National Liberty Alliance. We must meet on a state level to revamp education in our state and return it local. So we have to bring these subjects of civics back into the school. When our children come out, they should be well prepared out of school, and they shouldn't have to go to school any more than eighth grade. We spoke about that before. They have children in school for goodness until from age three to. This really is to brainwash them, not necessarily to do anything else. But anyway, we need to bring education back to the local people. They need to decide what their children should be learning. But obviously they should be learning real American history. They should be learning civics, of course, mathematics, English, and geography. You know, and these are the subjects that they should be learning. And it's up to us to make sure that we give them the appropriate skills so that they can continue when they become the adults and go out into society, that they can continue the process of controlling their own destiny by controlling the judicial process and the political process. And, of course, first and foremost, to have their spiritual house in order. Now, the first order of business, all four administrators, after consulting and receiving, after constituting and receiving access to the grand jury room, then enforce the following. Number one, meet with the trial and county court judges. Inform them we are under in a republic under common law. Judges, we have to think about, I don't think we want to make an assault in the beginning about requiring them to leave the bar. I think that'll happen on its own. We'll talk about that at a later date. We do know that U.S. Constitution Article 1, Subsection 9 in the 13th Amendment, which they removed, informed them that the court needs a, well, it, actually that article talks about having a title, just such as an esquire or being an attorney. We have to inform them when the court needs a trial jury also to call us. Number two, meet with the prosecutor. Inform them we are a republic under common law. No more puppet grand juries. Inform them when the state needs inform them that when the state needs a grand jury, they need to call us. And of course, if we have to remind them, if they go around us and use a puppet grand jury, that's an indictable act because that's fraud. Third, meet with the sheriff, inform them we are a republic under common law, no more unconstitutional arrests. We need to give all of these people the books, hand out the grand jury's, the jurist pocket and constitution handbooks, and we need to hand them out liberally. Four, meet with the federal court judges within your district. That you will have to do collectively. I know in New York, I think we have something like 9 federal districts. And for instance, the district I'm in, it covers maybe 5 counties. So we would have to partner with, I'm in Dutchess County, so we would have to partner with the other 4 counties, get together and sort of merge down into, make a meeting with, in the federal courtroom with the federal judges on New York soil in our case, head down there and meet with these people and read the Riot Act to them. If they're going to continue operating the federal court here on New York soil, this is a constitutional state, and they're going to have common law just as the U.S. Constitution requires and the New York Constitution requires. So we'll read them the Riot Act. And we need to inform them also. We'll have to talk with the federal prosecutors. and let them know that if you're going to need a grand jury, you'll have to call us. And if the judge needs a trial jury, you'll have to call us. We will administrate for the juries. We will educate them and prepare them for jury duty. Another thing we need to do, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, this is number 5, I guess, meet with municipal court judges. We might want to collect, you know, every town, every city has a municipal court, and we need to get them all together. I think we need to call them to us in that case. We can call them right down to the jury room. And remember, this is the work of the four individuals. This is not the work of a full jury. This is four people, the administrators, doing all this work, talking to all these people. We can have more people involved if the people want to get involved, and if people from other counties want to sit in with us, either to help us, maybe they can articulate better to these people. You know, some people might be intimidated by a judge, and others aren't. So the people who are not intimidated, those are the people that should kind of lead this thing. And if that kind of an individual needs to work in 2 or 3 counties, they should be helping out. And until we can all get to that point where we don't feel intimidated by these people. They should be intimidated by us. And that's the attitude we have to have when we walk in and talk with these people. We have to shut them right down if they try to take control of the conversation. We call them. They didn't call us. They're in our jurisdiction. We're not in theirs. They're listening to us. We don't have to listen to them. Now, of course, we want to do this humbly. We want to do it righteously, and we're not out for any kind of vendetta. We're not here on a witch hunt. But anyway, we have to call all these municipality judges together from the county, and we have to inform them. We get them together in the jury room. We have to inform them that we are a republic under common law, and they must inform all people that they might summons, and this is what's going to shut them down. If they're going to summon someone to come to their court, they need to let these people know that they need consent from those people to hear their cases. And if they don't give them consent, then they got to let them walk out the door. Well, don't show up for the summonses. They can't go out and arrest them. As a matter of fact, I know there's a Supreme Court case. It's not on the tip of my tongue, but I will pull it up, and maybe I'll stick it in here. There is a Supreme Court case that says if you're not in court the day that your summons is called out for, then they have no jurisdiction over you because you have not given it to them. So that's what we have to pull up and put underneath them. If they arrest somebody, they better have a good reason, and they better come see the grand jury and get our approval. And that's the way it's got to be, because that's the way our founding fathers put it up. And as I mentioned earlier, we need to hand out jurists pocketbooks and constitutional handbooks. We have to do that, give that to everybody. The sheriff comes up, you know, how many deputies you got? You got 30? Okay, here's 40 books. You know, we have to just hand them out liberally. I've been working on different places to get those handbooks done. Right now, you can only print them off online, and they should be up on our document page, jurist document page, and they'll be up on the new site also. But I do have another group of people I'm going to be talking to and see if I can get a good deal. So far, I haven't been able to find a good deal, and a lot of these people, they just don't get back to you. Family and probate courts, we have huge problems there. No lawyers, let me read what I wrote down here. No lawyers in family and probate courts. They only divide and destroy families. This is family court. They're there for, these people are not criminals, and they seem to make criminals out of everyone. Everyone is a molester, according to them. And it's not the people, they're the problem. These lawyers, they destroy families. Judges are to arbitrate the problem. And then bring the findings with their opinions before the four panel board of review. Now that four panel board of review, we either going to have to create a board of review, or if we have the time to do it, then the four administrators can be that board of review. But we have to protect the families. They destroy the family. They destroy the families. They destroy their children. They separate the mother from the father. They just cause nothing but problems and grief. And the children are the ones that lose out. They lose a mother, or they, in most cases, they lose a father. And they arrest these people. I mean, it's just insane. They're supposed to be arbitrating a situation, and trying to bring those families back together. And if it becomes obvious that you can't do that, then you make a decision for them. You try to get them to agree. I mean, what's logical? That child deserves 50% of the time with their father and 50% of the time with their mother. I can't think of any other, there's nothing more reasonable than that. Anything less is unreasonable. Now, of course, those two parents could decide that maybe the mother's more available and she can spend 60 or 70 and the father can only do 30%. I mean, he's usually the breadwinner. So, I mean, maybe that is the case. And whatever they work out from that point is up to them. But we can't deny children their parents. And people who make accusations, I mean, they all the time, crazy accusations, they need to be able to prove this. And then this needs to be dealt with people who are capable, medically speaking, psychologically speaking, to hopefully solve those problems, whatever they may be. But these family courts, they're all about money. The probate court is the same way. They come in, they take fiduciary control over the elderly. They separate their children. A lawyer steps in between, takes control of everything that they've earned in their whole life. And literally, they just waste it away going court back and forth and back to forth, and at the end, the IRS ends up with the rest of it. And what they do is they destroy the families when their parents are in the twilight of their life. They destroy the families when they're beginning and growing up young children. We got to bring an end to this. So anyway, we need to work something out with a new system. I mean, I know in New York, the Constitution here in New York calls for a Supreme Court to handle this, and it's a special court that's supposed to be the family court, and they have additional authorities. They're very relaxed, but they've taken that relaxed system and made it worse than better. They're supposed to be relaxed so they can deal with human beings, family problems and situations, trying to heal that situation and do something with it. Or make some kind of a settlement that's reasonable that the children can grow up with both parents. Anyway, if when a board of review makes a final decision, if any of the parties object to the settlement, the case could be heard before a trial jury for final settlement. It's that simple. Okay? And I don't think a case like that would take on too long, you know. When called, one person per state is to meet and discuss national problems. The perceived most qualified, knowledgeable person in the state should be chosen for that unified state grand jury in order to deal with national problems. But I don't think we're going to have much of a problem with having to deal with those things as much as we let each other know where we're at and what we're doing. I mean, we have some major problems, and we'll talk about that in another day. Public endangerment and illicit behavior in public is a crime, and restitution is to be made to the public and any injured party, if there is one, with some form and term of public service maybe and professional help. Incarceration is not unless it's a violent situation, there's no reason for incarceration. We're supposed to be trying to help people to get back to where they should be in society on the one hand, but most importantly, we need to be finding restitution for the injured party because that's what common law is about. It's not about putting people in jail. It's about restoring the injured party and, if possible, restoring the perpetrator. And in many cases, I think if dealt with on the human terms and with compassion and sternness at the same time, I think we can restore a lot of people. House arrest if necessary. You can put a ring on them to require them to be in a certain place at a certain time if that's what's required. The jury's going to have to figure that out. Either the four who are negotiating a settlement and maybe settle it without having to send it to court, or the grand jury will come together, and if they can't deal with it, then they'll send it into the trial jury, and they'll just make the final decision on it. But these cases can probably first be arbitrated in county court. I don't think there's not a need for them to go. We definitely don't want to send them to town courts because they are not constitutional courts. The county court, at least I know in New York State, You'll have to check with your state to see how it's set up. But in our state, New York State, the county court is a court of record. In other words, it's supposed to be act as a Supreme Court. And the judge can make decisions without a grand jury as an arbitrator, as long as they agree. If they don't agree, then they get the first part of business would be for the four to see if they can settle it. If not, then the whole grand jury look at it, and then if they can't settle it, then and they believe it needs to go into court, then they'll send it into the trial court, and they'll have final decision. But that's the way the process was set up. This is where we need to go to, and it makes a lot more sense. But these cases should be arbitrated in the county courts. And if the defendant or anyone challenges their jurisdiction, as I said, they'll be sent to the grand jury. Now, here's the daily duties, and this is the important part. People need to understand what this position entails. You know, we as the administrators, we're not going to be sitting on the grand juries per se. Maybe in the beginning on certain things, if we have to sit on a grand jury concerning a judge to get power and get authority and those kind of things, to bring a prosecutor into their place, or if we even had to deal with the sheriff, which I doubt we'll ever have to deal with a sheriff that way, but if we had to get him into a situation to bring him before the grand jury and maybe send him into the trial, then I think the administrators would be the prime people, being the people who are educating themselves to be able to deal with this problem, would probably be the best people to do this with. But once you start getting cases and investigating, we're going to be so busy and we're going to go through these duties, you're not going to have time to sit on the grand jury. But you will find that one individual for the grand jury, at least one of the four investigators, will be spending time with the grand jury. If we're doing a presentment, they'll be sharing the case with them and bringing them all the evidence. And it may be all four of us may do that. One may go on this day or these certain hours to bring this certain evidence, and another one go to certain other pieces of evidence and so on. If it is a case being brought for indictment by a prosecutor, then in that case, we need at least one of the administrators to be in the room to make sure that these prosecutors don't take advantage of these people who we have pulled in for grand jurors. They can produce their case and move on. And if the grand jury wants more information and look on the other side, that's what they should be doing. They should be looking at this whole thing. We don't want to waste the trial court's time. We need to take a good look and make a decision, and we need to tell these people. They need to figure out what's going on. But we don't have to be sitting on those juries, but we will have a little influence on that because we'll be, advising them. They'll need a connection to us at all times, whether they're in the grand jury discussing things or in a trial jury discussing things and the question comes up. They're not to go to the prosecutor. They're not to go to the judge. They're to go to the administrators, and the administrators will get the answer. If they don't have the answer, they'll find out the answer. They'll make a call to someone else who has more understanding, maybe in another county or another state or whatever. It doesn't matter. We'll get the answers. And that's why we have to really bone up on common law and the processes and the procedures of court. And it's not very difficult. It really isn't. There's not a lot to it. And it's mostly logic, common sense, and principles, applying principles. But here are the duties of the four jurists. That it is share the phone, sort of a hotline follow me service. You'll need a phone number that follows, and then you've got four jurists, four administrators. And you should pass that phone on. One day this one gets it, the next way another day another, and so on and so forth. And then you just keep revolving the phones. There must be someone on that hotline. And it needs to be someone who can potentially arbitrate the problem right there on the phone, maybe make a phone call to the agency that they're having a problem with or something, and see if they can't just arbitrate it and settle it and get it done with and move on. So a lot of small stuff could be dealt with a phone call. You know, when these people are being treated rudely, you're going to call up that that individual in a particular agency, the bureaucrat, and want to know why you're treating the people, with disrespect. They're your boss. What's going on down there? You know, you could straighten it up on the phone. So you probably get a lot of that kind of stuff. When the administrators are out on an investigation, obviously they won't be able to answer their phones, and the phones should be directed over to the secretary, who should just take messages, and when we get back, we can all share in catching up on those phone calls for that day, whatever the case may be. So people have to work. That's all logical stuff. You just have to work it out. Okay, so here are the duties. They are to interview complaints, complainants, meet with all county judicial and political officials, inform them that justice has returned and nothing less will be tolerated. Arbitration of problems, create contract agreements of those arbitrations with certain penalties should they be broken. This is the next step, and this is what's going to happen. We're trying to keep it out of the trial court and settle it and get it done with and restore the injured party. And if we can do that without sending it to court, then we should do that. That's the agreements that should be made. I mean, again, the prosecutors, they try to make all these deals, whether they're guilty or not. Hey, look, you're facing 10 years. Do 2 years, sign this paper, and you're out. And people who are not guilty sign those papers. We have to stop all that nonsense. We're not interested in putting people in jail. Only violent people and judges belong in jail. I can't think of many others. So arbitrate problems, create contract agreements. Investigations of government agencies, all four administrators need to go out on that together. If for some reason only three could go out, that's fine, but, you know, we should always try to get four. Arbitrate the solutions right there in the office. Write a prescription. Fix it. If they agree, let's make the contract and move on. Follow up on it. Make sure that they are doing what they said they're going to do at a later date. Engage special forensic investigators when necessary. Sometimes you might need someone who's a bookkeeper, maybe to take a look at things because we may not understand it, and so someone with forensic abilities of different types of things, but that's just one of many. Again, we bring the cases before the grand jury, and again, all four shouldn't be bringing the cases to the grand jury. All four of us may go talk to the grand jury. One may go for 2 hours and another one go in for another 2 hours and so on. So we might share that. Or maybe just one person will go in and lay it all out, whatever you work out. And as I mentioned earlier, one administrator is to be present at all times when a prosecutor is addressing the jury. One administrator must always be available at all times, maybe through the hotline, to advise an in-panel jurist if they call you. So they should have a phone line to you, that hotline. And if they have a situation, they should be able to get someone on the other end of the phone that can help them with their question or their concerns. When called, administrators ought to sit state and panel grand juries to discuss and solve state issues. Each county must send at least one. When you get together on a state level, in New York, we have 62 counties, so we should have a minimum 62 people, but all four are welcomed. But we need to have at least one, okay? And if others want to join, you know, they can join. Anybody can join into that. When called, administrators ought to sit on state and panel grand juries to discuss and solve state issues. Each guy already read that. Okay, run orientation for all jurists. We put together a... you know, it's somewhere between 4 to 6 hours. It depends on how much time you feel is necessary to spend with the people. And we won't have that up on our site right now, but when we get the new site up, which should be done by maybe next Monday or sometime, you know, very, very near after, and we will put up a zip file up there, which people will be able to file, you know, drop down, and it'll have instructions on how to orientate. You can kind of tweak that as you want. The key thing, of course, is to go through certain principles and to go through the two main points that drive us, you know, that, for instance, you know, if there is no injured party, there is no crime. For every injury, there's got to be a remedy. So those two maxims drive us. And we want to make those points very strong in these people's minds. We want to make the points that every time they make a decision, they need to keep in mind the justice, honor, and mercy. Those are the principles they must act upon and act under. And as long as they're doing that, I think they'll be okay. We have the jurist handbook. You know, we'll probably write up some things we think you definitely should share. You know, I don't think you want to go through the whole book. If you want to, you could. You'll have to figure that out. You don't want to hold the people any more than 8 hours in orientation. 4 to 6 hours is probably more appropriate. But if you give them breaks and stuff, 8 hours shouldn't be that bad. But we'll make a few things that we do want to make sure we cover. Nullification, okay? They have the authority. The person could be guilty of sin on a situation, and but if you were in that situation or any other human being, we would have done the same thing maybe. So you have to, they have to figure that out, how they're going to handle that. So they have the power of nullification. They have the authority of whatever it is they believe should make a person right. And of course, we can't come up with ridiculous numbers. I started collecting some biblical principles, and I'm going to put a paper out eventually on biblical principles on how to deal with certain things, how to deal with murder, how to deal with people who steal, and a few other things. So we'll put some things out, and that'll be sort of a guidelines. And each case, you have to figure it out yourself. It's up to those 25 people in the room if they're going to indict. And if it goes into trial, it's up to those 12 people in the trial room what they're going to do with this, you know. And so, we got to be praying for wisdom all the time on this. But again, we'll make a few points on what we think should probably be good ideas to definitely cover with these jurists, potential jurists, out of the handbook. And again, you can add what you want and figure it out yourself. We put together about, I think it's 73 minutes of videos. They're all short videos. I think it comes about 73 or 76 minutes, so it's not too long. It's maybe, an hour and 15 minutes or whatever it is. And at the end of those videos, we're going to probably suggest let them watch them one after another, an hour and 10 minutes of video. It's not a lot of time, but let them just watch one after another and then discuss it for a while. We'll talk about what you might want to do and have questions and answer session and then go into the other things and so on. But we'll have that up on a new site, and probably by the time the new site is up, we'll have that all done. Most of it is already done. We've already chosen the videos. And again, grand juries, administrators are free to do whatever they want. So we're only suggesting what you really should do. But we've done some serious homework on this stuff, and we really feel you should kind of stick to the program as much as you can. But you'll figure it out yourself. Okay. Let me just finish reading the rest of this. I'll read this line again. Run orientation with all four with all jurists. 4 hours of two hours of video is what it is. I mean, it's an hour and 15 minutes of videos, but 4 to 6 hours of instructions, question and answers, stress nullification powers, discuss jury tampering by the judge and the prosecutor. If they're approached by the judge or the prosecutor, they need to tell us right away. We need to deal with that. At the end of that, you need to acquire signed oaths from all the jurists, you need to be available to advise the jurist. We need to write the true bills for the grand juries with the foreman's autograph on it. So when they come to a decision, then we would sit down with them, pencil and paper kind of thing, and go through what they found, and then we would look up the laws that they'd violated and if it's necessary for that kind of thing. Usually if it's a bureaucrat or an elected individual or appointed individual, somebody in government, there is prescriptions for them. And those prescriptions often put out jail time. I don't think we should consider getting rid of jail time on that situation. I think they need to understand that they have a job to do. When they breach that duty that they have, they need to pay. And restitution needs to be paid, but I think maybe jail time might be appropriate. I don't know. Maybe house arrest might be appropriate. But I think all the things are on the table. The jurors got to figure that out. But we can't act with anger in these things. A lot of us have our own cases. That's why we're kind of here. We've come to realize we're in prison because we've hit the prison wall when we hit the statutory courts, and we realized and we finally saw the bars that are up there. But our courses are second fiddle. That's not what our concern should be. We should not be in this for our own cases. Yeah, we're going to deal with our own cases eventually. First order of business is to save the republic. Second order of business is keeping up with your job to make sure that we accomplish what it is that our duty is there to be for. And in our spare time, we could deal with our own situations, and maybe we can work a negotiating situation out on our own with these people. I know a lot of judges that I need to talk to, but again, you know, that's not the, we've got to stay away from focusing in on those things. So we write the true bill for the grand jury, and the foreman, whoever the foreman is on that grand jury, would autograph it. We will engage special prosecutors when the grand jury administrators believe it's necessary. You know, if you're going after a judge and the prosecutor's there and you know there could be a game going on, well, we'll get a special prosecutor. We're working on that part of a program right now nationwide with groups of people that are qualified or will be trained to become qualified to be able to do those things. We impanel federal grand juries and trial juries. A federal budget will need to be created to pay the jurists. We'll have to work that out. We don't have the details on that. But again, it's a matter of applying for with the federal end instead of the state end with the controller on the federal end. They got to supply the funding to pay for the whatever jurist, grand jury or trial jurist are chosen for that case. We are already on a state budget, so whatever time we're putting in has already been covered by the state. One administrator is to be the treasurer for the purpose of a bank signature. We talked about phone rotation, so you need to get a phone. Let me just read this. We do offer a phone service on our webpage, and it'll be on a new webpage also. It's a phone service I've been using for a long time. And I worked out a deal with them, and they're willing to give a few cents for all the phone bills, you know, that have been. And I think it's a good deal, too. I mean, you're not going to pay any more than anybody else. You get the regular rates. You know, we'll get a few cents off of that from everybody who orders a phone through that system. And every time you use the phone, we get a few pennies. And that helps to support the National Liberty Alliance website. And as you're going to see when it comes out, it's really going to be a very involved website, a lot of, you know, interaction. But each county needs a phone number so that the people can have direct access to the administrators of the grand jury with no screeners. There's no one to screen that. If you're not available, they'll get an answering system. But, you know, no one is to screen the calls. On National Liberty Alliance website, under Jurist Services, National Liberty Alliance offers a flexible Follow Me phone service at a very reasonable price, and it's a very sophisticated system. By using this service, National Liberty Alliance receives a small percentage from your service each month to support National Liberty Alliance. Same thing with business cards. We've got a really good deal on business cards, and it's $49, I think, for 500. There's a couple of different types we offer. But that includes everything. Delivery and everything is included in that $49. So it's as compatible as, with Staples or any other place like that. By the time you pay for the cards and pay taxes and so on, you'll be at the same price for 500 cards. So we have that on our website also under services. We created one card for jurists. Really, it's jury administrators. All you have to do is put your personal information. You fill out your personal information, your county and your state, and you'll see the card that's out there, and you'll get that. We also did one for National Liberty Alliance website, so if you want to have cards to hand out to people for that, again, you put your personal information in it, phone number, fax, whatever, and you'll get that card. Now, here at the end of this, this is extremely, extremely important. Never, ever, ever identify yourself as a jurist. You are not a jurist. You are a grand jury administrator investigating on behalf of the grand jury or communicating on behalf of the grand jury, writing a letter on behalf of the grand jury. You are not the grand jury. You are not a jurist. You may very well be one of those, but at this point when you're acting outside of being with the group, you're not a jurist. And it's very important. You're going to get yourself in trouble if you identify yourself as one. And there's many reasons, many things that could be a problem. Never, ever threaten anyone with an indictment. You don't have the authority or the power to threaten anyone with an indictment, nor should we be doing that. We're not here in a witch hunt. You can only say if these people are uncooperative, they're not being cooperative, and they're giving you a hard time or whatever, being disrespectful, you can only say that you are going to report back to the grand jury for consideration of indictment. That's the most you can tell them, because you can't perceive and know what the grand jury is going to really decide. I mean, in a lot of cases, we probably can, you know, to some degree, you know, whatever the case may be. But you can't articulate that you have such knowledge. So anyway, that is the job of the grand jury. We have some serious problems. I went through these all lists of things, you know, political corruption, constitutional crisis, monetary crisis, and all those other things. And we only got the tip of the iceberg. If we tried to solve each one of those problems individually, we'd never get it done. It's an impossible task. Can't happen. Okay? But doing what we're doing, we'll solve every one of those problems, because they're all wrongdoing. And as soon as we start fixing the wrongdoings, a lot of the wrongdoings are going to disappear. It's all going to, you know, really collapse, in my opinion, very quickly, because justice has returned. You turn the lights on. What happens when you walk into a room where there's rats or cockroaches and you turn the lights on? You know, they all flee into the corners. So, okay. I guess that brings me to the end of this. Real quick, just for what we're doing up in Greene County, I don't remember whether we talked about this last week. We did go down and talk with the clerk. We got some information. We're planning on returning. We didn't get down to this week. Gerard had some situations. I've had some situations, and we just haven't been able to do it. Hopefully we'll get it done tomorrow. We're going to pick up the paperwork, which is going to tell us pretty much who and what's really going on. We're also making an appointment with the judge to question him, hopefully this week. And then we're going to send out our paper, and we'll talk about that next week, the details of that. That's kind of what's going on here. There's a lot of pressure on these people, I can tell you. The pressure is mounting, and it's going to get more and more pressure each time we move to the next step. And we don't want to talk about what the next step too much is until we do it, because that could alert them to what our plans are, and that obviously isn't very wise. Okay, with that, I guess we'll take questions. Gerard, have you been watching the phone lines? Any questions in text chat? You're going to have to lead me through this. Gerard, yeah? Hello. All right, I guess I'll just start with the top one. Let's see. Well, here's someone from New Jersey.
Hey. Hi, this is Jason.
How you doing, John?
How you doing, Jason?
Great. We had a last meeting. We have 12 people signed up as jurists and a common law. And we're doing.
Okay.
We have another one tomorrow.
So they signed up. So they signed up to get into the jury pool. So we start to get the language cleared. Everybody's starting to understand how this is working and what we're doing. And just let me make a point about this. Anybody who's signing up to get into the jury pool, out of those people will emerge eventually the four individuals we need for the county. We'll find a lot of people don't want that position, or for whatever reasons. And a lot of people, entrepreneurs, they don't want that, or people with a very good job or something, they may not want those positions. But we'll find four people who will come to the surface and want those four positions. But again, everyone else, they're in the jury pool for that county, and they will be the first ones to be called when we need a jury or a grand jury. And they'll get the phone call, and if they can't do it, we'll just move on, and we'll recycle their name back in, and we'll move on. Once you go through that jury pool, if you need more, which in many cases, especially in the beginning, we will, then we go through the voters registration, and we'll work through that. We'll call people that are active and voting, and take it from there. So, and then we'll impanel the trial jury, the grand jury, whatever is necessary. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, we also tomorrow, the 17th, we're having West Orange's county meeting. And on the 19th, we have the Burton County meeting. And I just got a date for the 30th for Morris County. So we will have four counties put in there. And I am very ambitious. I'm looking to, I'm looking to have all of New Jersey May online by the end of January. It's possible. I mean, it's a big deal. We have 21 counties. We don't even have contacts yet. But I'm believing the faith in God and the Spirit that we'll be able to go forward in our leadership to make this so.
Okay.
But I'm very glad
And give a call, you know, just drop a line to support@nationallibertyalliance.org, and Carl will get that, and he'll post those dates and times and put whatever message is necessary for that in the meetup group. People will get the emails on that.
I was trying to drop a line into the public, into the press report, and it was found unbelievable, unknown domain. I don't know if there's a problem, but I'll go.
What were you trying to do?
I was trying to go send out stuff in the press release, news release information.
I think we dropped the email for that. We just have the phone number because we. I was getting too many. You know, once you put an email up on a website, you know, and you expose it to the public, you know, they come in with these crawlers and they strip it, and you start getting all these crazy. I get enough email as it is, and to try to get through all that, it just became too much. So I went back with the phone number. So we have a number, but it's only for the press, okay, for press, you know, as far as for the press to call if they have questions. If you're doing your own press release, obviously we have instructions on how to do that. And if you're looking to post the information, you'd go through support@nationallibertyalliance.org, and we'll post it for you. So.
All right, good. That's great. And that's what I have for now. I found that there's point of information in the best library I really found that was the best service to the community was the Library of the Chathams. For like $35, you get use of equipment and a rental fee of $25, which in this day and age, that's what I've seen is really, really better, because some of the libraries in New Jersey, in Essex County and Burke County, either allow to be there, or they charge you a phenomenal fee, or they have $1 million bond that you have to do. Morris County is like that, and I understand what they need to do, but they really need to know if you're just coming out, you need to have something that everyone signs a piece of paper that they can't sue, you know, something like that. Again, we have to look into that and see if that is fair to all parties.
What was that for?
Some of the communities, like Morris County, Morris County, use their buildings. They want $1 million.
We don't have to get too lost in these things. You can go down to Denny's. Denny's will be more than happy to give you the back room. Goodness, down in New York City, we actually did the back room of bars. I mean, you know, it is what it is. We tried to do it the right way to get into the courts or into the municipal buildings, and they've given us a hard time, and they've literally raided us, you know, because when they kind of figure out what we're doing, it's, oh, you can't have this. I mean, we've been raided, literally, in New York. And then we tried the libraries, which I think everyone should still try the libraries, because I know I usually get in a library. But we do get some problems with the libraries, and you can always go to the town next door to a library. You'll probably get into one of them. But if that's a problem, I don't know if you have a Denny's or something like a Denny's. They have these back rooms they'll let you use. I know in my town here we have a diner. We've got a back area in the diner. We can have a meeting back there. We've done it in College Diner there in New Paltz, New York. We did one, and we had a section in the back end of the diner. They gave it to us. So we can go into anything like that. Whatever the one thing we don't want to do is do it in a political building. We were offered down in the Bronx by a conservative party. They offered us to use their room, but they have the signs and everything up. It's a political building, and we couldn't do that. So obviously you don't want to do that.
Yeah,
we have to be, we're not political at all. We don't want to go near anything politics, because this is about justice. It's not about politics. And we don't have any agendas. All we have is we're looking for what is right and fixing all wrongdoings that is our duty to fix. So so that's what we want to do. You know, you'll find a place. There's lots of places. You'll find something. But, you know, if you can get a business that will give you the thing, you know, and that's fine. And if you want to sign a piece of paper that they're not liable and they're good with that, that's good too, you know. But whatever you do, you don't have to spend money for a place. You shouldn't have to. You can find a place for free.
Yeah, but again, for $5 to use an LCD projector and a screen, $5 each, that's great, because you can't even rent LCD projectors. I mean, one of our chairs let loan me his. I got it to work, and the light blew out. It's $100.
Oh yeah,
and,
well, that's cheap if that's all it was, $100. You know, but that's cheap, $100.
But again, challenges are there, and the worst scenario, if you have a laptop, make sure you have speakers that can be shown out to the folks so they can hear. Because I use my my tablet, and the speakers on the rear, so it's very difficult to hear what's going on. So with everything, have a contingency to be able to produce your program. And also, it's just not, when you do your program, you're also trying to give an introduction to yourself, maybe just 2 minutes. The shorter the time that you're introducing it, to be more passionate. And then after they do everything, everyone signs up, you can ask any questions they want. And again, some of our folks are out there, they have to know everything. You just don't have to know everything. You just have to get that first meeting, and that constitutes your county, and therefore you're going on forward with your project. I mean, I want to run as fast as I can, because, again, this December marks the first anniversary of the NDAA, of the signing by a BO, and our wonderful legislature in signing in the unconstitutional NDAA.
Mm-hmm. You know, just to go back to the speakers, I went and I got a couple of different sets of speakers. I've got some very expensive speakers that were on my computer. And I'll tell you what, I bought a set of speakers for $39. You know, it plugs into an outlet, you know, and it plugs into your, and they're for the computer. It plugs into the computer. And they work just as good and just as loud as some of this one big one that I spent, goodness, I think $89 for. You know, they're not that expensive to get a speaker. I have a couple sets of speakers. I carry them with me, and I have two projectors, digital projectors. I got an expensive one and a cheap one. And so if the expensive one goes out, I got the backup. But you're right. They're very expensive to get a good one. And as a matter of fact, when we get into the jury rooms, we have to have a projector. We have to have a digital projector to be set up in the grand jury room. And if there isn't one that's available to be given by the courthouse, if they don't have one to put in there into that room, then it's got to be put into our budget. And we figured a few thousand dollars for that. To get a decent one is going to cost $4,000 or $5,000 at least. And there should be a speaker system set up with that too.
Well, I've seen you can the real thing about getting expensive, you really don't have to. I mean, that's a point of information. Epson has some really inexpensive LCD projectors running like from $300 and up. I mean, the problem
that's
is...
That's what I got. I got one of them, but they're not that good. They're good for what we're doing right now, but when you put them up in a big room and you need the big screen, they're not going to be able to produce. So, well, I'm not talking right now. You can buy one. You can go out and buy used ones that originally sold for $4,000 or $5,000, okay, that are 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're still good. The worst case scenario, you might have to replace the bulb soon because it only gets so many hours. But you could buy one of those, and yeah, they get quite a few hours on it. But you can buy one of those at a good price, and you could buy the Epson, like you said. I think that's what I got, as a matter of fact. It only cost me about $300 or $250 or something like that. And a backup, you know, I do have a very good one, which I bought used anyway, you know. So.
Hey, can you hear me?
Well,
yeah, I can hear you now. All right. All right, let me move on to the next.
We're never going to get through the
questions.
Thank
you, John. Appreciate it. And
that's enough speaker talk. Listen, we got lots of questions. Right.
What we'll do is someone, if you want to.
We're never going to get through this stuff.
Okay, okay.
Listen,
if you want to have a. But I just want to say what I'll do is I'll only take one question per person with one follow-up, and we'll move on. If they want to ask another one, we can put them in the end. But go ahead.
Yeah, you're
Thank
never
you.
Going to get through at this rate. Never, never, never. Thanks. Listen, the other thing is we have questions here, and I'm supposed to be able to put them in a queue, and it's not working. I wanted to find out what the questions were, and for some reason that we got to call the administrator. I was going to check them. I can't check them. We have other questions in the text chat. People are asking what we've done. They want information on what we did with our Corwanto and, you know, and all this other
right.
stuff. You know, they want updates. They want to know, you know, what our plan is and all that. I can tell that some people have not gone to breaking news and read from the bottom up, or they would know the answer to these things, and they don't know our strategy, and they're asking a lot of questions that if they followed us and they followed all the stuff that we write out there, they would know what we're doing. And now they want to know what difference have we made. I think it's Bill Schneider. What have you done? You know, you're building, talking about hens and roosters, and you don't even have a chicken house and all this baloney. Well, we're working to win the battle, win the war. We are putting the pressure on Greene County. We've discovered that the clerk over there doesn't even have an oath of office. These are all important, important things that are going on, that we're putting the pressure on them, that they're going to fall like dominoes when they fall. And when we get in, which we will get in, because these judges that are under presentment and indictment and the ones that will follow, they will definitely be arrested, and they will end up in court because we're following procedures, which they're falling down on. Their New York laws and federal codes, and when we bring that to law enforcement, they have to arrest when you say there's a crime. You go in with a crime and you swear an affidavit to it, the sheriff has no choice. And if he doesn't do it, then he's under. Then he gets under. Now he's misprison of what is that, John? He's doing. Misprison of treason or something. And those are serious charges. And any law enforcement official that knows his salt knows that if a crime is brought to his attention and he doesn't do something about it, he's liable. And we're going to work our way right through law enforcement. I mean, I don't care if we've got to get down to a constable with arrest powers. If that's where we'll get to. But they're going to get arrested one way or the other, and they're going to go to trial. And if you don't think... And if that doesn't happen, that means we don't have an America. We don't have a system. We're in their system following the procedures, and we're finding out that they're not following the procedures, and that's what this is about. You know, we are proclaiming our right. We are resting on their procedures, and we're finding out, yes, they got a lot of skeletons in their closet, and we're going to use those skeletons as pry bars to get into the court. If you don't understand what we're doing here, you need to go back and read and understand the process, because the truth will prevail as long as somebody proclaims it. That's what John and everybody and the people here are doing. When we go down there and we stand in front of it, you know, we went and interviewed the clerk, and we got the – who did we get, John? The assistant clerk was there, right?
But we went to talk particularly to the clerk, and she wasn't there,
right,
but then we got
so
on the phone and did a phone interview.
Right, we did a phone interview.
And then she
and
had
she,
the judge's
she ran, got the attorney.
Law clerk. Yeah.
Right, she got the judge's law clerk, and they answered our questions, and they seemed very unsure of themselves, you know what I mean? They couldn't answer why she didn't have an oath of office. These are very, very important things. You know, if you think it's not, then you don't understand the process, and you don't understand, you know, in other words, that law clerk is not even in that office. And I don't know what we're going to do with that yet. We're not going to discuss it here because we can't discuss every strategy we're going to do because they could be here listening to us. And I mean, not that we care, but the thing is any good attorney that has a strategy doesn't call. He might give the evidence to the other side, but he doesn't necessarily give the strategy of where he's going. That would be like getting in the huddle on the other team and telling them we're going to do a bootleg, you know, a right bootleg. You just don't do that. So there are certain things that we haven't revealed because those are strategic things. But rest assured that this is moving forward. And, you know, if some other state moves forward ahead of us, that's great. If they get in and they do indictments and presentments and they hear evidence, that's a great thing because everybody that gets in is another precedent for us. And we've come across a lot of new information on the grand jury, proof of the grand jury, proof of that they used to operate the way that we say that they operate. And the grand jury, absolutely, somebody was asking here, what the process was and what proof we have, you know. And
well, we have, one of the things we do have, though, one of the things we do have is, if you want to really know and keep up to date, go out and constantly look on the Juris Documents page, because all of the latest things and information we're posting there. Now, if it has to do with the court case, you know, what's going on with the indictment, we have some interesting events that took place in Florida, and I should be getting some paperwork on that. We'll be posting up on Breaking News. But go to Breaking News. If you haven't read everything on Breaking News, go to the bottom and read up, and you'll get it to it in chronological order, and you'll understand exactly where we're at, what we're going. And then we'll keep, every Monday we'll try to give you some updates of what's going on, often before we even post it. And we'll just take it from there. But you've got to be up to date on all this new information. We're trying to detail what we talked about tonight. Was an important subject matter because people are confused on what an administrator is doing and what they are. People are thinking that they're going to become the foreman, that they're going to get business cards and write foreman on it. Forget about it. You're not going to do that. That's all. That has nothing to do with legal stuff anyway.
You're
going to
go to jail.
Yeah.
You're going to go to jail.
But that's not.
That.
Yeah. We're administrators.
They don't understand.
I
got to explain something. John does a lot of talking about a lot of subjects, and people just, and sometimes they zone out and they hear more, 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 more. This is very important stuff. It's not hen houses and chickens. This is courts and juries and people's lives. And believe me, if you don't do the right thing, they're going to jump on us. If they find a weak link, that's where they're going to go. So it's very important that you pay attention to the process of what we're doing. View from Montana says, the process, who, what, when, where was any process followed? Well, View from Montana, you obviously haven't been reading what we've been putting. There's a process when an indictment goes into it, when a true bill goes into a court and it's given into the chief clerk. That chief clerk, by law, has to file that paper and give it to the judge. That's the number one process. If they don't do it, if they remove it, it's 3 years. If the judge refuses to do it, it's 20 years. That's the process. We've been explaining this for how many weeks? So if you don't understand that, like John says, you got to go back to that page and you have to read.
Yeah, we do have a document. We do have a document, and I think we even have – we did an evening on that. If you go back into our past conferences, we do have them all up here on Blog Talk, by the way. There's like 50 of them up there. And if you look through that, you'll see we discuss those topics. We try to put a topic on each podcast, and we're able to put everything up on Blog Talk, so it's all in one place. And by the way, when we get the website up, maybe by next week, next Monday or the Monday after, we'll have the chat room up. You'll be able to come in and listen in our own chat room on our website. We'll have live streaming going through there, and the phone number will be there. And if you want to call in, you can call the phone number through using your Skype or your phone or whatever it is that you use. So, I believe we also have a paper on the document page talking about the process also. We might even have done a short video, I don't remember, on process. But it's very important to understand that there is a process, and they have to abide by it, and it's been around for 200 years, and every court everywhere operates under the same process, and clerks are held accountable, and also judges. They don't have the tribunal powers to remove that paperwork, nor to reject it, nor to hide it. They don't like it being there. Well, they can file a court case in the federal courts and make a complaint or whatever they want to do. And they'll find that they don't have the authority to do anything anyway. United States versus Williams answers that court case. So, but anyway, we do have a lot of people on hold here, so why don't we? I'll try to move along a lot faster because there's a lot of people out here. I see someone here for 50 minutes, so maybe we'll go to that person first. This isn't in any kind of a chronological order in time. You've got to shift around.
I don't know how to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we'll do is we'll get another assistance with these people and go do a trial one with them. Okay, let's take one, 888-778. I'll open their mic up right now. You got the mic. Go ahead, 778. 888-778. Nobody there. Let me open a different mic up. Who's next? It looks like a 914 number might be next, down towards the bottom. 914-523. Let's do that one. 523. Go ahead. You got the line. You got the mic. 914-523. 1013. Hello? All right, we'll go to another line.
Hello? You're on the air. Oh, okay.
Let's try 707-396. Let me open up that line. 707-396. You're on the air. Go right ahead. Hello? 707-396. You might want to try to get somebody. Hello, who's calling?
707-396.
Yep, go right ahead. What's your first name?
Doug Millar. I don't have any questions. I'm just listening tonight, but I really enjoyed hearing you last week and this week, and I plan on participating more.
Okay,
well,
so
you
don't have any particular question or a comment?
You got your hand up.
No questions. I didn't put my hand up.
Okay. All right, we'll put you back on hold then. If you got a question, just hit there must be a box there for them to hit. You want to figure out who's next and unmute them for me?
Okay.
Let's see who's next.
Bear
with
35
minutes,
845. Yeah. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
You want to do the 845 number? A few seconds longer there. 782.
Hang on. I got 893-4171 is open. Your mic is open. Are you there? 893-4171. Are you there?
93 area code.
I can't see the front of the area code. The last two of the area code is 41. Yeah, whoever's there and talking, that's your mic is open. You got a question?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't plan to call in or have a question for you.
Okay.
But thank you.
Okay.
You know what we'll do? This is what we'll do, Gerard. You know what's happening is I think it's picking up the time when they go in. You should probably screen the calls when you get in here early and get their names.
It's not letting me
post their names.
It's not. Yeah. It's not letting me do it. It's not letting me put anybody in the screening room. We have to call them. I already tried that. I put the screening on, right. Put them on, and I can't get them. So you're going to just have to go through. Maybe you should lower everybody's hand and tell them to put them back up if they want to talk, because you're not going to do the questions here otherwise. Maybe we should just clear everybody out.
I'm just going to go from the top. I'm going to go from the top down. 518, let me unmute. They should be hearing it. You are now unmuted when I unmute them. 518-943.
Right.
You there? Do you have a question or a comment?
I hear them, but they're not talking.
There must be something we're missing on people with hands up or something. I see the time that they're in here, but that's not with their hands up, I guess.
No, that's when they first come in, I guess. But I don't know why they got a question.
Maybe there's a couple of questions in the text chat, and maybe I can answer those, and maybe meanwhile I'm doing that, you can go in and get them in the screening room and find out who has a question and put a name next to them if they got a question.
Okay, so I'm in the text chat. Let me see if I can get a hold of these people. Okay. You there, John?
I'm here.
Hello. Oh, okay. You gonna answer questions from the text chat?
Yeah,
put them in that. Well, there's no way in hell I have to read everything.
Hi, while you're doing that, I'll start hitting buttons to see if anybody's got a hand up. Okay, I think the ones with the question marks next to them, maybe they got their hands up, because I see there's some without question marks, so maybe that's it. Let me try this one here. They should be hearing now that the mic has been open. It's all ones.
I heard you. You finally picked a winner. Congratulations.
Who's that?
It's Brown Beasley. I've been listening to you pretty closely. I got
a
good idea. I got a good idea of what you're doing, and I commend you. And it should
have
been
done
sooner. Pardon me. I think you're going to run into a lot of difficulties, but I think you know that as well by trying to stick to the letter of the law and usurping the system and the powers that be. However, here's my question, and I'll try to make it as brief as possible. I was recently very alarmed with the case that just got a lot of national news in Texas with the young man suffering from affluenza in Texas, who was 16 years old from a very well-to-do family, who was drunk driving and killed four people and received a sentence of 10 years probation and is going to rehab at some very fancy rehab place. And we all know that our judicial system, well, you should know if you don't know, that our judicial system is part of the larger capitalistic system. Those with money are able to make bail and able to hire the very best attorneys and investigators and so on. However, what dismays me at this day and age as a person of color is that when you have crimes committed by people. For instance, let's look at Michael Vick. The most egregious of his crimes was killing dogs, and he goes to federal prison. When you have someone like Plaxico Burress, the football player from New York, who was smart enough to shoot himself in a nightclub, hires the best representation and ends up in prison. There's something really wrong with our system. And I understand these were different jurisdictions, but it's all part of the American jurisprudence system. And if you're not speaking out to just the racial imbalance when it comes to the adjudication of cases, you're really not speaking to justice. And I don't hear anyone speaking about this. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know, we it's very difficult to talk about a case that has been adjudicated and through a jury of some kind. And we know one thing, that there is no justice in the place where we expect to get justice. And people will get just as much justice as they can afford, so to speak. But
well,
nevertheless,
I agree with you.
Let me make the point,
however,
Owen, because what you have to say, though.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I want to make the point,
Owen,
what you said.
This is my point, okay? My point is, obviously, Michael Vick, and I'm not forgiving him for what he did. You know, that's heinous to kill dogs, but it's not the same as killing people. Michael Vick had access to the very best attorneys with millions of dollars behind him. Plaxico Burress is a professional football player, had access to you know, unlimited resources, okay? What's the difference between them and them going to prison and the young white kid getting 10 years probation for killing four people?
Well,
that's outrageous.
Absolutely, it's outrageous if you understand the
details. It has everything to do with race. And people are quick to call race a card. Race is not a card. It's a viable issue, and it exists in our justice system. And if you're not speaking to it, and if you're not speaking to it directly, you're doing a disservice. And I would hope that you would consider speaking to it. There was a judge, I believe, in Pennsylvania that just got 28 years. I believe it was 20. And he was in business receiving kickbacks from individuals or groups that ran the for-profit prisons, and he sentenced racial minorities to much longer terms. Now, this is just one guy that got caught. How do we know this doesn't go on rampant
throughout? Let me respond. There's a lot of people in the forum here also. So let me respond, and then you can have a quick follow-up if you want. But here's the bottom line. We don't want to get into political discussions. Obviously, what you're talking about is a wrongdoing, and that is the job of a jury or a grand jury, is to deal with a wrongdoing. We bring common law back. It's not going to be as much justice as you can afford. It's going to be justice, period. You're going to get justice in a common law court. And, judges are not allowed to rule. It's the people to rule. And, again, what we're teaching people here at National Liberty Alliance and everybody that's involved with us is finding agreement. Occasionally we get someone that goes off the track. But the bottom line is we have principles. Every decision that a jury makes, a jurist makes, has to be made with consideration of a sense of justice, honor, and mercy. And if you make every decision looking at that in your mindset, you're going to make the right decision. Sometimes,
problem.
Mercy, I'm not finished. Hang on one second, and let me finish points. And then I'm going to do – hang on a second. All right, anyway, so we have to teach people to make the decisions there that way. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with color, race, religion, or anything. It has to do with justice. We talk to people and let them know that, look, if we're going to have justice, then we have to have a bent knee to the Lord, because what we have in our courts is injustice. And if you go to Black's Law Dictionary and even Bouvier's or any of them, you'll find that the word justice is synonymous with virtue. And so we're supposed to have virtue in our courts. We're supposed to have a godly attitude. We're supposed to be making decisions on real justice. And there are two maxims that guide us. One maxim is for every injury, there must be a remedy. That's a requirement. So the injured party has got to be restored by the person who violated them. The other thing is that in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. If there's no injured party, there is no crime. Now, there is a couple of exceptions to that, corrupting the morals of a minor, there's an injured party there. We're doing corrupt things in public that might corrupt the morals of a minor. That would be an assault upon society, so to speak. So there are situations where someone might do something that's dangerous to society, putting people at risk. That's something that needs to be dealt with. And, again, it's not dealt with jail time. We're not looking to punish people. We're looking to restore people. And the first person we need to restore is the injured party. And the second person that needs to be restored is also the person who injured that party, because obviously they have a problem too. And that's what the people have to figure out. And the violent people, you have no choice but to lock them up like an animal, because that's what they are if they're violent. So there's nothing else you could do. I mean, you've got to find a way to restore the injured party too on that. But we're going to have to be creative on. We can't second guess court decisions. I can hear things on the news. The news put things. Look, the whole system is a mess. Most people in jail don't belong there, and that's the bottom line. And a lot of people that got away with it do belong there, and they got away with it because maybe they knew somebody or they had a lot of money, whatever the case may be. We know that that's what's going on. But that's not going to happen when we get in control.
I have an
adjunct to the people. Yep.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
These problems, what Ron Beasley is talking about, will go away with common law grand juries the way we're talking about them, because the problem that he's having with the racial thing is because they are not picking juries of their peers. The state is picking the jury. When the jury is not picked by the prosecutor, you cannot let the state pick the jury. And that's the problem. Otherwise, you don't get a jury of your peers.
you think that any of these people of color would have, or many of them would not have been convicted if it's a racial thing, if they had a jury of their peers? And that's what we're preaching. We have Lysander Spooner on our site. Go listen to Trial by Jury by Lysander Spooner. And they explain why the state can't pick the jury, because it's technically a fixed jury. And then you get the statements that, oh, the prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich. Well, that's why. If you had juries of your peers, you would never get indicted in the first place. And so this problem you're talking about, this racism problem, guess what? It's a big problem, but it's not the only problem, because we also have a class problem. No, we got the poor from the rich. The rich get whatever they can afford, and they get as much justice there. So they're making two classes.
And
of
we
people.
Also have a
now
sovereign
have another
problem.
Right, you got a sovereign problem. Then you got people who are cops. They think they're above the law. Now there's that blue wall there, right? So we got all kinds of dividing problems. But when you get a jury of your peers, and you make sure that it's you know, a grand jury of 25 and a petit jury of 12. Our forefathers knew this years ago. You know, they have a mathematical equation that they knew that if you got 12 jurors of your peers, that you have less than an 0.0005% chance of being unjustly convicted. So we are addressing the problem. The problem is you can't have these corporate state-run courts. Everybody suffers. I don't care if you're black, brown, yellow, or white.
The state controls it all. They send a judge that is hired by the state. The prosecutor is hired by the state, and then the juries are controlled by the state, both the grand and the trial. So obviously, it's a problem because the state's controlling everything. They're going to get their conviction 9 times out of 10. The odds are against the people, and that's why the people have got to step in and fix this. A lot of people are going to jail when they shouldn't be going to jail. They should be making restitution and learning to own up to whatever it is that they've done to another person. And that's what we got to get to with this thing. It's called justice. So, all right, let me just real quick, I'll unmute Ron again so he can make his final statement, and then we'll respond. And then if he wants something, he can ask another one, raise his hand. Good, Ron.
Okay,
did you want
to
finalize on that? Ron?
It's Brown, and with all due respect, sir, you danced around the direct issue that I brought up. The other gentleman went more directly. However, sir, are you going to let me speak? I just listened to you.
No,
I just listened to you answer for 5 minutes straight, and you're going to interrupt me?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold just so I can get the question back out to you, and then I'll let you answer. What is it that I danced around? I'm looking for justice. I cannot. If you're asking me if prejudice is wrong, and it should, of course it's wrong. Nothing should be judged by the color of a person's skin, or their religion, or their nationality, or their political positions, or anything. Justice should be the situation at hand. Was there an injured party? If there's an injured party, how do we restore that injured party? That's what we need to be doing. That's what we're teaching here. And we're also teaching the principles by which people can find a right, just way of judging this. And people got to work this out, and then they got to go home and go to sleep. So how is it that I danced around the question? I don't think I did at all. But go ahead. Try it again.
Yes, you did. And you did it very skillfully, like a politician. I brought up a specific instance or specific situations, and it really, in these situations, it doesn't really have anything to do with the jury. Each of these persons plea bargained, okay? So each of these persons admitted they were guilty, okay, of the crime. It's the leeway that the judges have, and that the judges see that it fit to incarcerate the black
in common
gentleman.
Law, the judges don't get to judge.
I'm not going to let anyone finish, right? You're just going to do talking.
But you don't
have any equity. You're going to ask me a question, and I'm trying to answer.
I'm going to put you on hold a second just so I can get this out again, okay? Look, what we're talking about in common law, the judges don't get the ability to judge. Judges are not to judge. They're employees. They are servants. The servants cannot judge the masters. Only the people can judge the people, okay? And so that's where we got to get.
The prosecutor doesn't do any plea bargaining.
So the point is that the judge
doesn't do any plea bargaining under common law.
Right. That, all that's gone too. That's up to
that's
the
what he's
to the jury.
About. They did a plea bargain. The grand jury is supposed to do the plea bargaining.
They,
he doesn't understand,
the evil,
John.
Yeah. That's the evil that's taken place all day long. Look, it is up to the grand jury to find a solution if they can without sending it in to the trial jury. Even if the person's guilty, if they confess that they're guilty and they go work out a deal between the two parties, then restitution has to be gotten and a contract is made. And every group of people, the 25 in a grand jury or if it's in the trial jury, they're in a room, they got to figure it out. They don't do my will or anybody else's will. When I sit in a grand jury, I got to do the right thing also. I got to figure it out and try to do the best I can. So, but go ahead, Ron. I'll give you one more final statement, and then we're going to move on, and you can raise your hand if you want to talk again. Go ahead.
I'll be brief. You know, I don't know you from Adam. I'm listening to you, and you sound like you're coming from a good place. But I also know that Lady Liberty stands in front of courthouses with a blindfold on. And if I can't count on you to call out injustice, specific injustice, as I stated, okay, and realize how it affects a certain segment of the population and why there are more black people incarcerated than any other ethnic group in this country, if you're not willing to speak out on
that, I agree.
Then
that's
how the
problem.
Heck anything you say and trust that you're going to look out any different than the people that are in power now.
Because I'm not going to be your jurist. I'm not going to be deciding over you or anybody you know. That'll be somebody in your neighborhood, wherever you live, figuring it out and trying to do the right thing. And that's where it's going to end up. But the bottom line is it's not for me to
it's
make a decision
on
an existing case. Hold it. It's not
talk
for
is
me
very
to make...
Deep, but I still wish you well in your work. Have a nice day.
All right. Thank you. In any event, it's not for me to make a decision on an existing case as it's reported by the news with real people. And that's taken a political position. If what you're saying is true, if that's what's happened, and then someone was treated with bias, obviously that is a wrongdoing and needs to be corrected. But that's what you're going to get with the jury that is controlled by the government. That's exactly what you're going to get. The only justice you'll ever get is with honorable people taking these positions and doing the right thing and seeking out, you know, wisdom from God before they go into a jury room. We have to get onto our knees, figuratively speaking at least, in our own prayer closets and talk to our God and hopefully give us the wisdom to make these decisions. But there's no way that I will ever comment on an actual case. It's in the news. It's none of my business to comment on that. If you hear that it's a wrongdoing, you can comment on the wrongdoing, but you can't comment on a real case because I don't know anything about it. I don't know what was reported in the news, what wasn't, what positions anybody else has. It's not my business. But what is my business is to end these puppet juries and bring justice back into the courts. That's all of our business. And then we will get in there and do the best we can and not be biased. And when 25 people get together and they realize there's a biased person amongst them, 24 can get rid of that one person just by popular vote. This guy's got to go because they're not doing the right thing and they're not sticking up to what is right. And the people will figure that out. That can happen also on a trial jury. There's always at least two extra wheels on a trial jury. So there'll be 14 people out there. There's two spare wheels. And if you got a person on a trial jury that is just biased, prejudiced, or is a problem and needs to be gotten rid of and everybody agrees to that, then you get rid of them. And if you need the help, that's where you call up the administrators to assist you in whatever way they can. So that's the best I can tell you. And, you know, hopefully you'll listen in and join us.
This is not going to be popular for lawyers because one of the problems is the lawyers who are making money. Under this system, the grand jury will take care of things, and the lawyers will lose a lot of money. That's why they're going to fight us tooth and nail, because you're going to see people going in pro se, doing their own cases, taking their chances with the juries and the grand juries, and winning. And the lawyers will have very little to do, and they're going to fight this really hard.
Absolutely. A lot of these cases are going to be solved. A lot of these cases are going to definitely be solved on the grand jury level. I'll tell you what, the four arbitrators that are going to be out there, the administrators, are going to be all doing a lot of arbitrating. And you're going to find people, when you're going to make the offer, and if you think that that person's guilty and that they need to be brought before the grand jury, you can. You have the opportunity to discuss with the injured party what will it take to make right the and you can suggest to them what you think. And if you can get a reasonable an agreement with the injured party, you can go to the person that's about to be indicted and say, look, we're going to bring you up before the jury because we think we're guilty. And, you know, they're going to have to make the decision on that. But if you are guilty, here's what we can do. And then you can offer them the agreement that could be between these two people. You make the contract, and you make it a strong contract. There is no getting out of this contract. And whatever the consequence, should they fail in certain ways, you can even put that into the contract, what the next step is and so on. And if all else fails, then they need to go to trial, and they need to be put under control. Actually, if it's been already arbitrated and done, both parties agreed, if you have to, you put a ring on the person's leg and you put them under house arrest until they pay restitution, and it gets done. But that's the grand jury's job. That's what they got to figure out. Every case is unique and on its own. Okay, 705, I think, is next. 248-705. You should be hearing that you're unmuted. Go right ahead. Two four eight seven oh five eight five six five. Go right ahead. Any questions out in the text chat, Gerard? Let me go to someone else then, because they're not responding. Okay, let me go to the next person.
If they hear their sound go off and they think the sound's going off, they should answer, because when I try to put somebody in the queue room, it shuts them off from this room and they won't hear anything. They should just hear me. So I don't know if they're getting that. I tried a couple of people, and I see in the text chat somebody was complaining that the sound was going on and off. That might have been me putting them in the queue room to find out what their question was. So if they notice their sound is off, they should answer their mind.
We'll get more advice from these people at Blog Talk. We'll call up and get another meeting with them and try to fine-tune how this thing works a little better. I do see now there's question marks next to the people who do have the questions. So, okay, the next person we'll go to is 360-769-8531. I'm going to unmute you right now. You should be hearing it. You got the mic.
Yeah, hi. This is Bill Scheidler from Port Orchard, Washington.
Hey. How you doing, Bill?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. Look, here's my criticism of your effort, and it's not has to do with the substance of your effort. It's just that it's so articulated in a way that puts people off. And I'm gonna say this. You've touched on this throughout your Q&A today and what you had to say. And I think if you focus on why all of this is necessary, and that is the reason why we need to go back to a citizen grand jury, and you label the people who are forcing us to go back to a citizen grand jury, I think you're going to make a lot more points with a wider audience. And what I mean by this is, the reason we're at this point, the reason why we have grassroots efforts springing up all over the country, is because the legal profession has taken away our rights. Our government, if it wasn't for the legal profession going half off, claiming the powers that they claim for themselves, for the most part, our government should be working fairly good because the rule of law would play out. But it is the legal profession, and I'm talking judges and the way they manipulate the facts, the law, and I'm speaking through experience. I'm knee deep in lawsuits against judges and lawyers, so I know that this effort is needed, but it also needs widespread public support. And I think you need to identify that we have to do what we're doing because the legal profession, which is a private enterprise, they're in business, but they also are the very profession that owns the judicial branch. Lawyers are judges. Lawyers occupy ethic boards that sit in judgment of judges. Lawyers occupy ethics boards that sit in judgment of other lawyers. These are
the
things.
That's true. You know, I agree with you on all this. You know, the Bar Association, through their minions, which are lawyers, control every aspect and every decision-making in both the political and the judicial realms. They decide what the law is. They claim that statutes are law, and it is not.
Yeah.
And they control the judges. They approve the judges. They're pre-approved. If they break the rules or get in trouble, they disbar them and throw them out. Same thing with lawyers. And so the judges will report a lawyer that's not playing ball, and lawyers will even report other lawyers and judges that are not playing the proper ball, and therein is the problem. And the only people that can fix that are the people themselves. And it's a grassroots movement in every single county across the United States. There are 3,141 counties in the United States, and we are in the process of trying to develop grand juries in every single one of them that come up from the grassroots, self-controlling, all on their own. All we're giving them is the education, and we're giving them the principles that they should have, which is the principles of justice, the biblical principles. And then it's up to the people to step up and do the right thing. And if we fail then we deserve whatever we get. Right now we deserve whatever we get because we're too busy not paying attention to other things and not to our own destiny. And we run away from the courts. We run away from the political process. We run away from even our God. It's time to return and step up and do the right thing. And that's what we're trying to do. But I do agree with pretty much everything you said. I think you're right on.
Yeah. I think you need to focus in on why we have to go this route We're not doing it because we want to. We're doing it because our legal establishment, our lawyers, our judges are forcing us to reclaim our rights. And if I put a link to the Gallup poll website in which they rate lawyers as far as honesty and profession, and they're right down there with car salesmen. Not, you know.
Right.
So if you identify the bad guy, the person that's the entities most responsible for driving us to do what we need to do, everybody in this country will recognize that you have a legitimate beef. And I think it's going to drive
true.
The country.
And I agree. Have you been listening to our programming? We've got
I listen to
podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're trying to cover all the bases. We've discussed common law. We've discussed a lot of court cases that we've been fighting. We've discussed different processes and procedures in the courts and how to try to get through the system. We talked about the fact that these are corporate courts and they're not common law courts. They're run under corporate charter, which is your statutes that you're ruled by in these courts. And judges are ruling when they shouldn't be ruling. They don't have the authority to rule. It was never meant to be. And so, you know, all of these systems, but what we are also trying to do is we are creating these grand juries. We have lots of grand juries that have been established. We've got 21 of them here in New York, and people have never been taught what to do. We've done the research on this, and we've learned a lot by just getting out there and fighting court cases and finding certain procedures and processes and reading and learning and researching, and we discovered the way to do this thing. And we counsel a lot of other people that have got a lot of years, a lot more years than we've got into it, and they give us a lot of good stuff, and we edit it, and we're just trying to put it together. You know, tonight was a focus. It's just timing that we had to deal with, particularly what the duties of the administrators are. We're also going to be talking about, people and the power of the people in the upcoming. We've got a couple of different shows coming up that we're going to plan on. We always try to focus on something we can teach. But we do agree the problem is with the courts, particularly with the Bar Association is really that's where the real problem is, because the Bar Association is a communist organization. It's taking control of all aspects of our life completely, 100%. They write all of the statutes. And then the people we send to Washington or to our state capital, they pass all those things. They do what they're told. They're traitors, and they need to step up and do the right thing. we're teaching people we need to take the process back. We need to save the republic. And there's a simple way to save the republic, but it takes the people, enough people across the country to do it, and that is to take back the courts. When you take back each court in each county, because each county has a trial court, which is supposed to be a common law court, when you take that court system back and you bring it back to common law, you put the judge back under common law, you put the prosecutor in, and let him know that we're under common law, and he's going to start losing all kinds of cases because he's got to bone up on the common law until he's ready to do that. And we put the sheriff back in place where he belongs, and he's got to stop arresting people for unconstitutional things. And he's got to step up and start doing his job, which is to step up and stand up for the Constitution and protect the people of their counties. Once we get it to that point, let me tell you, all the rats and the cockroaches are going to be hiding under rocks. There's going to be huge masses, in my opinion. I really truly believe, if we're successful, and I do believe we will be successful, that when that time comes, there's going to be a lot of people bailing ship, a lot of people leaving the state, leaving the country, hiding, taking early retirements, just going away because they know that their time is at an end. They know it's only a matter of time before someone comes up to the grand jury and say, let me tell you what this judge did to me or this guy did to me or whatever the case may be. And we're going to have to deal with that wrongdoing. But we don't have to chase those wrongdoings. We just have to bring the republic back. The people will bring those cases to us, and we have no choice but to hear those cases and deal with them. So when we're going in trying with an olive branch, okay? And we're not looking past. We're looking forward. And we have no intentions on going on a witch hunt. We have no plan to go after this, that, or the other thing, except for certain things. There's poisons in our food and our water and our air. All those problems, but people will bring that to us, and then we'll have to look at that and we'll deal with it. And that's the way we got to handle it. So God's sort of in control of this. We've been staying low-key, grassroots, and now we're starting to get ready. Once our website is up, we're going to be going national because we've been already invited onto a national program, and we're going to go on to that one, and I'm sure we're going to get others. And the whole thing is going to be off the top soon on this thing. But we've been working for quite some time now, grassroots. We're well established in most of the states, 48 of the 50 states. Some states are at the point of developing half their counties already, you know. And so we're going to head towards that way, and everybody's got to do what they got to do, you know. They'll just do the right thing.
Yep. Okay. I mean, you said it perfect, you know, I think you need to make the model, we got to reclaim our justice system from the Bar Association, and I think if you put, you know, put a model, you know, get a model that people can relate to, you know, I think this movement has wide appeal because everybody understands what you're talking about when you say you've been screwed by a lawyer or you've been screwed by...
Right. Oh, yeah. I agree. You're right. They do understand that. What happened? I lost you? Was that you on the line here, 566? Did I lose you?
Yeah. Hi, John. Jim Cook. Angels Fear the Tread on Crusade Radio. We've had you on.
Yeah. How you doing? Hang on just one second. I just wanted to find out what happened to that person. Hey, Gerard, maybe you can find out who it was that I was just talking to. We dropped their call. I'd like to get them back on. Meanwhile, go ahead. I'll talk with you. How you doing? I think it might have been 303 or 828. I don't remember. You're on the Crusade Radio. Go right ahead.
Basically, my issue was to address the administrator's role. Now, I know the way you were talking, if people complain about what a judge is doing, would come to you. But wouldn't an administrator work better if he goes right into the courtroom and sees for himself what the judge is doing to these people under the Uniform Commercial Code?
That's all going to end because that'll all end. I'll tell you how that ends. I'm in one county. I can only work my own county. I'm in Dutchess County, New York. And the judges in Dutchess County, New York, when we get a seat in the building, But we're going to call them down, and we're going to let them know that, look, you guys have been operating under the wrong courts. You know, we're not a Nisi Prius court. We're not operating under statutes. We're under common law. And if I get an argument from that guy, and not just me, there'll be other people with me, if we get an argument from that guy, then we're just going to have to shut him down and say, hey, look, you know, you got three choices here. You're going to go to common law because that's what the Constitution requires, even though you've been taught that common law doesn't exist anymore, and even though you were taught that it's passé or whatever it is that you think about common law, it doesn't matter to us. The bottom line is the United States Constitution requires common law. The Bill of Rights on the Fifth Amendment requires a common law grand jury, and in my case, in New York State, it requires that this be a court of record, which is common law, and that there be a grand jury who gets to decide everything, both facts and law. And they've been operating under a different position. So either you're going to comply, okay? You got three choices. You can resign, okay? You can go along with this and obey the law, or you can reject us, and then we'll bring you up before the grand jury for an indictment, and we'll have you removed from office. And I'm sure that that's probably going to be their decision. And that's what we do with the judge. And then we watch them like a hawk. And when we train the people with our orientation program as they come in to be jurists, and we train them, and they get a problem from the judge, if that judge tries to steer them in any direction, they're going to know that they need to give a call to one of the administrators, and we're going to pull that judge aside, and he's going to get one last chance. And after that, he's going to be found. We'll take him before the grand jury for jury tampering, okay? And that'll be the end of that subject, and we'll get another judge in there who's going to obey the law. And that's my job and the job of other people here in Dutchess County to do here. And what we need is everyone else in their counties doing the same thing. And we will bring this system back under common law, and all of their crazy corporate stuff is just going to go away because fiction will just pop. As a matter of fact, people will be coming in filing cases on these people for exactly what they've been doing to them, and these people are going to end up in jail themselves. And they're probably just going to run is what's going to happen. They're going to know. Look, New York already knows. The party's over, and mommy and daddy are home, and it's time to clean up house. And, you know, there's a biblical principle that says that before, you know, you could take the house back, you got to first bind the strong man. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to bind the strong man. The strong man is the judge, and we're going to bind him with the chains of the Constitution. And then we're going to bring our system back to justice. And we will watch it like a hawk. We will fix this problem. And every one of us has that job in our own county. There are 3,141 counties, and we need 3,141 administrators in all those counties. And times four, of course. So, but go ahead.
Okay.
I think we'll solve that problem. We'd have to do it. Only the people can do that.
What's all that noise in the background there, John?
I don't know. Gerard, is that on your end? Gerard?
Yeah, it
I
might
don't know
be.
Where that
Listen, Bill Schneider, I got a hold of him. I don't know what his phone number is, though. And he said that you made your point and we're on the same page. So.
Okay, yeah. I thought we were.
Okay.
All right, that's good.
Okay.
Why don't you mute your mic here, and then when you want to talk, you can come back in, because we're getting a lot of background noise. You can mute and unmute your mic, right?
I'm muted right now. You still hear noise?
Yeah,
no.
We hear you. Let me try muting you. Hold on a minute. Now try to unmute yourself. See if you can unmute yourself. Can you unmute yourself? Okay, I'll unmute you. Were you unable to unmute yourself? Well, I guess he's good now. He's back on anyway. Go ahead. What was your first name again from the Crusade?
Jim Cook.
Jim,
I'm Doug Millar's co-host.
Okay, yep. I remember the call not long ago. So.
Yeah, I got a backup question. You guys had... well, actually, it's a statement. You guys had mentioned before some legal things you can do with the judge. Well, one, it's an imposter in office where he's committing fraud for not carrying out the duties of his office. and that was used legally by myself and other people. Another one is obstruction of justice, and another one is aiding and abetting, where the judge can be charged with the same crime that another person is committing. So bottom line is, you can, if he refuses, like if he adjudicates a or refuses to adjudicate a case against, like the sheriff, if you go to the sheriff and say to the sheriff, hey, you got to carry this out, and the sheriff refuses, then you can charge the sheriff with the same crime that the judge has committed and bring it straight to federal court if you want to proceed in that way. So there's a couple of different laws that you can bring against them for.
Yeah, we can also go after him for treason against the Constitution, violence against the Constitution, treason against the king, the people, which is the king. And there's a whole bunch of them, You know, we've done some of this stuff, and we still have some of this stuff on the website. We just don't spend too much time with it anymore because we're really trying to solve the problem, so we spend more time with the grand jury thing and trying to educate people on that end and also get the elections going. But on a new site, we're going to have a lot more of that stuff. We'll put some of the old stuff back up that we used to have. We have a lot of court cases that we've written, and people can use that as framework for their court cases, you know, similar type cases. And we've got just a lot of stuff. We'll post it all when we get to it. And we're building the site right now, and hopefully, like I said, maybe by next Monday we'll be up. And possibly by the following Monday, we'll have our text chat room up, too, where people will be able to participate right on our site, or they can come here on this chat area and participate. But we will be broadcasting or, you know, streaming it directly from our website in our chat room also. So we'll have it in two places, plus the phone call-in.
Okay. Now, just one quick question. How are you people teaching the people out there the difference between UCC and corpus delicti, and that corpus delicti refers to them if they injure, loss, or harm someone, and that there's a victim, and that the Uniform Commercial Code is only for contractual agreements, and basically if
We get into those conversations to some degree, but we're not teaching those things. We just did a thing. I just did a paper on the 14th Amendment. I don't think we posted it yet, but it's the people versus the 14th Amendment, because that's where it seems that they really got in there, which was in the 1860s. And then, of course, they made the person a corporation back then, and that's when they started to really get into our court, into our judicial system. But they've been in there from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, in 1790, there was a justice, Wilson or Williams or something, who was giving a lecture, and George Washington had attended it. He was just elected president just that year. Was it 1790, 1789? It was just when the Constitution had just been written, and the first president was there, as far as George Washington being that president. And already the common law grand jury, or the grand jury, was already under assault. And that's exactly what he was talking about, what his conference was about. We have that story. It's like about 38 pages, which talks about the assault on the grand jury. It's up on our document page. So we've had the problem for a long time. What we're looking to do is cure it. We don't get too much into the details unless the questions come up. We don't tell people to get rid of their driver's licenses or do any of those things. Because all of that's going to go away and disappear. It's going to become irrelevant, okay, once we bring the courts back to common law, because it would be an injustice to bring a fictional court, a nisi prius court, a court controlled by statutes, back into the same courthouse where we're at, unless the people understood what they were doing and that's what they wanted. Then they can make their argument in that kind of a court. They can do that. That's a contract. But they can't do it without it. Gerard, we got a lot of noise coming through this phone line here. But
right.
Anyway...
our lawyer.
Anyway.
You're on the other
side.
Well,
let me
see if I can mute that.
He said all the stuff...
But anyway, you know, we don't get too much into that. You know, once you get to the other side, I know I got a driver's license. And even when we get to the other side of this thing, I'm going to keep my driver's license. And I'm going to keep it for two reasons, because I might want to do some commercial driving, and sometimes I do. And the other thing is it's a great ID. So for those two reasons, I'll keep it. But
well,
all of this fiction
people,
and stuff, it's got to fall away
well,
and go away.
I got well, what about those people like myself who lost their license because I refused to pay a court fine for
yeah, you don't need a license
justice.
To drive.
I know, that's why I don't have it. But then again, that eliminates me from driving commercially, too, and therefore,
no, it doesn't.
You know.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, no, because that was a misjustice to begin with. And you could bring that up to the grand jury as a misjustice and get a wrongdoing fixed, and they'll go straighten that out down at the motor vehicles. Look, it's up to the grand jury to straighten out all of these administrative processes, all of these agencies. It's up to the grand jury to do it. The people... We're going to create a directory, and you'll find this directory. It'll be created up on National Liberty Alliance, and we'll try to get that directory posted in other places. But people should have access to their grand jury. If they have a problem, they should be able to call their grand jury and look for a solution. And so we're going to create a directory, and every county grand jury throughout that we've helped to get together, you'll be able to come to National Liberty Alliance and click on the state, click on your county, and get a phone number to talk to somebody. And try to find some justice. And often justice can be done with a phone call, because one phone call could be made another phone call, and you can get the other people on the line and straighten it right out and say, well, look, and I'm sending Jim back down there because he said you're not going to give him a license, and if he's going to have a problem, I'm going to have to come down there with some other people, and we're going to do some investigating. So we're going to expect to hear from Jim tomorrow sometime telling me that you took his paperwork. Are we good with that? Sure, we're good with that. Okay, thanks for your time. Have a good day, and goodbye. And those problems like that could be straightened out by the grand jury over a phone. The threat of them having to come down to do an investigation, they're not going to want to deal with that. And they're all going to get the memo once you do the first indictment in the state, and it's probably going to be a judge, okay? Once that happens, and they understand that the common law grand jury has returned, everyone's going to straighten up and get on their best behavior. You understand? So these problems, a lot of them are just going to disappear. And then we'll find the guilty people because the people will bring them to us. They'll say, they'll file a complaint. You know, this guy sent me to jail for 3 years, and I tried to tell him this, that, and the other thing, and he didn't care, and he sent me to jail. He wouldn't give me my due process. I told him it was not his under his jurisdiction, so on and so forth. And, oh, really? Okay. And we call that judge in onto the carpet. Unless he's run, okay? And I think a lot of them are going to run. But we'll call him in on the carpet. We'll have to deal with that problem. We're going to have to get restitution for this individual. 3 years in jail, that's pretty hard. That's worth a lot of money, let me tell you. And maybe this judge needs to know what it feels like. You know, we have judges that boast. We've heard of stories of judges that boast that they've retired, and in their career they've given out 1 million years of jail sentence. Can you imagine that? Judges that have given out 1 million years of jail sentences. I think they need to go to jail. That's what I think. But
oh,
that's
absolutely.
That's up to the juries how they decide that to work that out. You know, I'm not going to influence anyone particularly on any specific case because every case is unique unto its own. You know, you could tell a story about a case and you can hear another case over here, and this jury can go you know, towards the mercy side, and the other jury can go towards the hardest thing you can think of. And the difference may very well be just the fact of the circumstances involved within the case. So we can't second-guess another grand jury when they're merciful or when they're really harsh. We have to hope that, and we have to teach and continue to put out that you've got to sleep with your decisions, and we have to act under principles. And without those principles, we just become them. So.
Oh, that's absolutely true, John.
All right, let me move to the next caller. If you want to talk some more, you can raise your hand again. Okay?
Thanks.
All right, let's see who's next. We got, let me just see who's been on here the longest. 386-761-2679. I'm going to unmute you now. You should be hearing it. You're unmuted. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Can you hear me?
Give us your name. We can hear you. Give us your first name and your state.
My name is Armando. Hi, Dave. And I'm from Florida.
How you doing? You're Dave.
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good.
Yeah, I was invited to this phone call by Roger here in Florida. And and I had some very, very, very I like what you're doing. I have a very strong interest. I research. I learn more about this. And where I'm coming into a little bit of...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just hear a lot of background noise there. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm trying to mute. Okay, that's muted. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I'm running... What I'm trying to do is this whole concept of the common law grand jury is new to me. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to actually learn about common law. And, I'm asking a basic common law 101 question because I understand natural law and I understand civil law and I understand positive law.
Well, natural law and common law are synonymous, but go ahead.
Synonymous, okay.
They're the same. They're one and the same.
They're one and the same, okay.
That's correct.
Now,
common law is ruled by the mind of God, and you do that through logic, maxims, and the Bible. And that's ruled by common law or by natural law. Civil law, of course, gets into the minds of men, and they write legislation, and they control our behaviors, and they write statutes, and that's a statutory court. Common law court is not a statutory court. It rules by principles and maxims.
Okay. Now, my question, I have another question that relates to this. How is it that we wound up with the kind of court system we have now? I mean, did we lose it somewhere because of something we surrendered? Or is it something that has just been ignored or neglected or just lost?
All
I know there was
things.
A ruling
and,
that happened. There was like a procedural ruling that happened in 1946. I forget the name. That talked about getting rid of this common law grand juries.
Okay.
So, and my question is, did we lose this through legislation? Did we lose this through?
No, here's the truth. Here's the facts. So we have not lost it at all. There are some states that have written certain things out by legislation, or they've written certain things out by even constitution or failing to even put it in the constitution. But all that is null and void because we have the Fifth Amendment, which is where you find the grand jury, and the Fifth Amendment is a common law, paper. It is the Bill of Rights, and it was written for the sole purpose. It's a bill of prohibitions, what the government is forbidden to do. And
okay, now is there a difference?
Unalienable rights.
Right, I understand unalienable rights. Now, is there, and I understand inalienable because there's actually a difference between the two. Is there a difference between a common law grand jury and just a grand jury, period?
Well, actually, it should be just called a grand jury. But we purposely put the word common law in there. Some people who have tried to get the jury back into the people to control them, they've called them citizens' grand juries. They've called them the people's grand jury. We very, very specifically and purposely put the word common law in there for a couple of reasons. Number one, we wanted to let the people know when we're getting into the courts exactly what we are and what our intentions are, because we've been fighting in the courts for years now, and they really believe that common law doesn't exist, and that's a lie from hell. It's a lie straight from the belly of the bar, to be honest with you. And that's not true, especially here in New York. They have never won, even on a federal level. The federal level supports ultimately us, even the codes, the U.S. codes. They'll point to U.S. codes that were written back in 1949, and they're such hypocrites because I go into court and we make arguments and we'll bring up U.S. codes. Oh, that doesn't apply here. Oh, those court cases are irrelevant here, and so on and so forth. So, of course, they're liars and they're wrong, but they're true believers because they were taught this in their school. They rule by statutes. They're statutory is what they are from day one. But now all of a sudden we bring in the common law, and all of a sudden now the federal cases mean something in New York State. What hypocrites they are. But they're morons anyway. They're not too bright. I shouldn't call them names, but they really aren't too bright. They don't like to read. I win a lot of my cases or at least get upper hands on a lot of the cases that we do from the cases that they bring to us against us, and we'll go read the case, and it means the exact opposite. And we'll show it, hey, you got the wrong case. This supports us, not you. And they do this all day long. They don't understand half of what we're talking about, and they're not interested in reading. But what happened with the federal rules back in 1949 is they actually put more details and information on how a judge calls for a grand jury or a prosecutor might call for the comment the prosecutor calling for the grand jury and the judge calling for a trial jury, and what the process and the procedure is. And they think because they wrote a process and a procedure on this that this somehow prevents us from doing what we're doing, saying, you see, they wrote rules and you can't do that now. No, they wrote those rules because, of course, they want to maintain control and protect themselves from being seen as the criminals that they are by the people. So they wrote these rules, though, also because the people weren't doing their job either. And the people haven't been doing their job for a long time. This goes back longer than 100 years, I'm sad to say. I think within the first couple of generations after our founding fathers, this fell away. And I think even when our founding fathers were running things, they allowed the courts to make the call out. And they never really set the situation up where the people administrated it. They might have been involved to some degree, but it fell away. The assault was mostly on the East Coast, and started before the ink on the Constitution was even dry. It already started. Jefferson and many others made some points. We need a Bill of Rights. They got up in there, and that's what's really saved us and protected us for a long time. And the Constitution is clear in the body of the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. You cannot change the first 10 amendments. You can't alter them in any way. They must always go front and forward. You can't change the body of the Constitution. It is what it is, and it goes forward. Of course, you can add amendments to it, but anything that's repugnant to the body is null and void. And so anything that violates the Fifth Amendment is null and void, whether it's in the 14th Amendment or any other amendment, or whether it's a statute. And obviously, the legislators have never been given authority to legislate our behavior, so all of that is null and void. It's totally irrelevant. So.
Yeah. I have another quick question. How is it that the whole idea of common law, the way it's being defined now is that common law is basically case law. So how did that come about?
Well, they call case law common law, and it's not. Common law, case law is a little bit of common law, of course, because we got some great decisions. I mean, goodness, you go back into the turn of the century in the 1800s, the 19th century there, and we have a lot of great court cases from then on that support the Constitution. The federal courts on the Supreme level really have made a lot of good calls, and very rarely have they gone outside those things. There are times when they make bad rulings, and they make a lot of bad rulings. But what happens is, they have to also rule in the jurisdiction they're within, and that's where a lot of problems come. Bob Schultz lost a case here in New York, and one of the judges told him that they said he didn't have standing, and he's scratching his head, doesn't understand why he doesn't have standing. And one of the judges tried to throw him even though they ruled against him also, tried to throw him a bone to tell him why he didn't have standing because he was in the wrong jurisdiction. He never challenged the jurisdiction. So they're going to rule on the jurisdiction they're in. And that was the problem. It is very difficult in the trial courts to get into the right jurisdiction, but if you protect your jurisdiction and you're able to get to a righteous judge on the Supreme level, on the appellate level, you might be able to win there. But usually if you're going to win, unless it's a big case, like you're going up against the gun laws, you know, that I don't know whether anyone's going to win that. We tried and we're still in courts on that also. You know, in a lot of cases, if you can put the judge's flesh on the line and you signal to him that you know the game and what's going to happen if he doesn't do the right thing, once they get those signalings, on the federal courts, they pick that up pretty quick. And you can usually get thrown out of the court, which is what you're looking to do, usually if they're bringing you into it. You know, so that's kind of a win, being thrown out. On the state level, they're not too bright at all. I mean, you really got to knock them in the head a number of times before they'll finally go and read the papers to discover that their rear ends are in a sling. Should they get the wrong judge up the line, they're done. So you have to put their flesh on the line, you know. That's the only way.
Will these grand jury or common law grand juries apply to circuit courts as well?
Every court, if it is a statutory court, it doesn't have jurisdiction over you, and you do not have to show up, period. And if they tried to arrest you, you'd give a call to the grand jury, and we would do a habeas corpus, and then we'd try to discover who kidnapped you and who put out the order, and we'd go after all of them on your behalf. Because the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and probably your state constitution, I know my state constitution, all of it supports, there's even a lot of New York codes that support the constitutional position. And you can use that against these people. But it is absolutely clear in law everywhere. If there is no King's Court in the court, then it's not a court of law, and it is a statutory court controlled by statutes, probably created by statutes, and it has no authority over you as long as you don't give consent. They can't do anything to you. And if you just don't show up because they don't have consent and they arrest you, then they're in trouble if you bring it to us. And we need to make sure people understand this, and that's why we tell the four administrators, you got to bone up on the law. This is if you're going to get involved with this and get a paycheck, you need to be able to do your job and do it well. And if you don't know the answer, you call. There are other people within the state or in other states nearby that you can call up and get the answer to the problem. We'll have a lot of advisors, by the time we get to that point, that will be able to answer these problems for people who don't have the experience. But as long as they're working on it, we're all new at this, so we all got to work on it. We have to bone up on it.
Okay. So I'm catching something kind of interesting that you're saying here. And that is that, because you mentioned that, you know, if there's an issue, whatever the issue may be, you go to the grand jury. You don't go to a lawyer, and you don't go to court. So,
right. If there is somebody violating your unalienable rights, forget a lawyer. You go to the grand jury, and you make the phone call. And they could probably fix most of this stuff on a phone call, and everybody will be happy just to be left alone. And if you've been injured, then you need to be, then the restitution needs to be made. And then we would call a hearing and we would work out a restitution between you and the violators. And as long as they're good with that, we'd write a contract up and it'll be done. If not, then if we believe that they're guilty, we will send them into the trial jurist and the juries, and they'll make a decision that they'll have no choice but to go along with, and that'll end it. But they'll make the deal, believe me. Once the word is out, they're going to stop violating you. You're going to find yourself walking into these agencies, and they're going to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. They're going to treat you, and they're going to give you everything you want because that's what they're supposed to do. And they'll get the memo pretty quick once they see a few, indictments go out.
So basically what you're saying is that the grand jury system is broken, because I was reading a little bit about, saying that they're basically controlled by the bar. They're controlled by lawyers, but they're not really controlled by the people. And you're saying
the grand jury is controlled totally and 100% by the prosecutor. And the prosecutor just about every time gets his will by. They prosecute indict almost everything. Now
you're
the trial
that they're not supposed to do that.
Of course they're not.
Grand jury is not supposed to be controlled by the prosecutor.
That's right. No. That's called jury tampering. They need to go to jail for that, baby. Okay, that's jury tampering. You can't tell the people. The people are your boss. You can't tell the people what to do. You bring it to the people and lay it before the people's feet, okay? And the people will decide whether they want to pick that case up or not, okay? And if you bring someone in that's driving without a license or carrying a weapon without a permit. Yes, so I think it's their right to be able to travel. I think it's their right to be able to carry a weapon. What business is that of yours? Where is the officer that arrested him? Maybe that person needs to be brought up and talked about for kidnapping. And if they brought it before some town judge and it ended up in they're holding him captive, we're going to deal with that too. We'll do a habeas corpus and we'll fix that problem. And it won't happen again. And that's why, you know, we need to talk with all the judges when we come into the power, and we need to lay it out on the line what's going on and what's going to be expected of them. They need to obey the law of the land. It's the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution, which is ultimately the Bill of Rights, which protects the rights of the people. Don't tell people they can't represent themselves in court. That's their right. That's their duty to represent themselves. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand. My other question is, when in the course of history from our founding did this system where the prosecutors controlled the grand juries, when did that happen? Did that happen like within the last 100 years? Did it happen 40 years ago?
Yeah, I think mostly you can say probably within the past 100 years. In the 18th century, look, there was a lot of problems, especially when a lot of the states out west were being developed and the enemy had their ugly faces out there. You know, I read a book called Common Law by Brent Winters, I think is his name. I do have that. That's the only book I have online where you go and click on, because it's not open to the public. You've got to buy it. But it's such a good book, I think everyone should read it. And if you go on and click on it, you'll be taken to some place. I actually get Amazon or some place that sells the book at a reasonable price. But in any event, it gives the history of the common law and the battle that's been going on with men for thousands of years. I mean, civil law comes out of Babylon, and common law comes out of Mosaic law, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's where and there's been a battle between this civil law and common law, or natural law, if you want to call it that. There's been a battle for that for thousands of years. And ultimately, it's good against evil. It's the mind of God against the mind of men, okay?
It was one of the reasons we fought the revolution, because that's what the king was doing to the colonists. They had grand juries in England, but the king was having the prosecutors tamper with the juries in America. That was one of the reasons for the Declaration of Independence, because they were usurping the jury's power.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that was one of the reasons they wrote that stuff. Hey, John, just one quick thing. Don't give the whole phone number out. I got a couple people complain. Give the area code, the last four or something. People don't like their phone numbers being announced on the air. So just give the area code or the last four. And if they don't respond, you want to clarify. Give the last four in the area code. I had two people complain. They don't want their numbers out there. Okay?
Right. I didn't think about that. All right, sounds good. And just another thing, you know, we are limited on our time here on Blog Talk, which is probably good for us because sometimes we go way too long. So at midnight is the end of our program. We go from 9 to midnight. So we got another half hour, just to let everybody know. But at some point, we will have to close down at midnight. Anyway, let me move on to another. Did you have a final question or a comment before? And you can raise your hand again because there are other people with hands up.
No, I think I've got, I got my question answered. It's one of those things where I was reading earlier, and I did stumble across a definition. It was just very, very vague, but basically what they were saying was, and this is like in page like 21 or 24 in the Google search, but it was an article that talked about the difference between common and civil law, being that the civil law is the state is sovereign, and in common law the people are sovereign, and that's actually a pretty good point.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, and it's a point I just recently made in a paper that I wrote, and that's a very valid good point. And usually, you know, you got to be careful what you read on Google. A lot of this stuff.
Yeah, they're not really defining.
And,
very well.
Yeah, you got to do deep research to make sure you get the truth.
Right.
And you can't work with one legal dictionary. You know, I use Black's fourth edition, and I don't use anything later than the fourth. And I also use the second edition, and I also use Brovier's, if that's the proper way of pronouncing that. But I'll tell you what, Black's fourth edition is usually pretty good. There are some problems from time to time, and when I get the inkling that there's a problem because it's logical, you know, you start looking into the second to see what went astray there, or you look into Brovier's and you get a better position on it. You also look at a lot of the Supreme Court cases, especially the older ones back in the 1800s and the 1900s, the early 1900s. But you even get good ones like, you know, the Scalia opinion of United States versus Williams in 92. I mean, that's what gave us energizing us here in National Liberty Alliance is reading that case. That's what started the whole thing. We do have that. If you haven't read that case, that is up on our website. But we're going to have a new site. We're building it right now, hopefully in another week. And when you join in, if you register, there's three tabs that are not seen. You know, unless you're registered on the site, then those tabs open up. And one of them is called Jurist. And under that Jurist, there'll probably be about 18 links and pages in there. And if you really wanted to know everything that we believe you should know in history, the Constitution, we have a couple of constitutional courses, we have history lectures, we have common law lectures, we have tons and tons of writing and video and a lot of MP3. And if you go through that whole list, you will achieve all the knowledge you really should need to have in order to do the job as administrator. And even if you're not going to do that, you should have that knowledge anyway. And then, of course, there's the rest of the site. I mean, our site is very heavy. We look into the political realms, too. Our founding fathers had answers for that, too. And right. That also has been robbed from us and violated. And we need to get that back. But first we have to get our courts back. And then we'll get our political parties back.
Yeah, I was really flabbergasted when I met with a couple of gentlemen about a week ago. And I was just really flabbergasted just to learn about this and how our system is just – I was just amazed. You know, that's why it's really caught my interest. So anyway, I know you have other calls, but thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Good to hear from you, and hopefully you listen in. All right, let me go to the next person. Let's see, 734 number, last four digits, last two digits is 55. You should hear, you're unmuted. 734.
Let's see, 734 number, last four digits, last two digits is 55.
Well, I'm hearing a repeat here. How you doing? Go right ahead.
Hi, Jack. Paul here from Michigan. I'm the coordinator for the state of Michigan. Just wanted to let everybody know that we are real good. Just wanted to let the room know that we've got an election tomorrow for Oakland County. Hopefully people will be able to make it there. Let me see where it's at. It's at where exactly it is at.
Did you get a hold of Carl to post it? If you send an email,
if you send
an email to support@nationallibertyalliance.org, Carl will get it. And if you give him the date, the time, the location, and a contact number, he'll post it on the meetup, and anybody in that area that's on our meetup will be able to respond to it also. Also, you'll be able to, if you call him up, you'll get a list. He'll give you a list of Michigan, of all the people in Michigan, your eyes only, and you can make phone calls to the people in the surrounding counties close by or in that county to let them know that there's going to be a an election for that.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. I just sent that out to support National Liberty Alliance. It looks like it's at the Rochester Hills Public Library at 7 p.m., so... For anybody else out there that might want to come to the election, we've got three counties organized right now, Wayne County, Macomb County, and then tomorrow will be Oakland County. And, we're working on some of the other counties as we speak. Of course, this month is kind of slow because of the holidays, but we expect it to pick up ahead of steam January 1st.
Okay, great. You know, what we're going to do on a new website, which I'm sure you heard we're talking about it, that it's going up now, and will be up soon. On that new website, all of the state coordinators will have direct access into their state registry. So they'll be able to find everybody in the registry, and, of course, you'll be committed to, not sharing that information with anyone. Now, the county, once a county, becomes a grand jury, it constitutes a grand jury by getting together and the people deciding to go forward with it. Once they do that, then you will be able to, we'll figure this out where probably one person in that county, one of the administrators, and if there's not an administrator really established yet, because, some people are doing the election, but they don't want to be the administrators, but they're getting it going, administrators will show up eventually. But once there's an administrator established, we'll give them access. Actually, the state coordinator will have the ability to give them access so that they can go directly into the system with the username and password and get access to all the information to all of the registry in the state. Okay, so that's one of the features we'll have on the website, and should open up a lot. Also, we're setting up a page for which will be many pages. You'll be able to build a lot of pages. The website for your state or your counties, or actually your state, and the state. We'll have to figure out how we're going to do this, but probably all of the administrators in your state, including yourself as being an administrator and a coordinator, you'll have access to be able to put files up there. You'll want to put your state constitution up there. You might want to put the election statutes up there, and anything else that you think is necessary. And you'll also have a message board, okay, where people can post things, and you can follow the conversation, by clicking on follow the conversation, you'll get an email. So we're going to have that feature set up there also, and that'll be for your entire state. And all of the, the state organizer particularly, the state coordinator, shall I say, will be the administrator of that part of the website and also the national chat room. So we got a lot of things coming up, and we're going to have the ability for people to comment on it, put comments on every single, pretty much every page throughout the website, and so on. So it'll become very rich, and information is going to flow a lot better soon once we get that up and going.
That sounds like a plan, John.
Yep.
Thanks a lot for having me on the show tonight.
Okay, great. All right, let me go to the next caller. Let's see
okay,
who's
buddy.
Up here. All right, bye-bye. 434, I think, is next. 434 go? Oh, there it is. 434, and the last two digits, the first two digits is 56. 43456, you got the mic. At least I'm trying to open up your mic. Yep, there it goes. Should be unmuted.
John, it's Jim again. The reason I chimed in is because John, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, the reason I chimed in again is because the guy from Florida, two calls ago, he asked, the history of how we lost the grand jury, but it wasn't so much the loss of the grand juries. I've done some studying on this, and I'd like to give you a brief synopsis of what I found. It all came in due to the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913. What transpired is after it was created, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers used the money to create the war for 1917. What happened was basically they drew us into the war to bankrupt us. 20 years later, in 1933, from 1913, we were bankrupt. And at that point, America signed a secret agreement with the bankers saying that they would turn all our assets into paper assets, our cars, our property, and everything else. And at that point in time is when they started writing all this UCC commercial code. And what they were doing is they were using the courts to fleece the American people, and most of that money, besides their kickback, the judges and the lawyers get their kickback and their money, a lot of that money was going over to the Bank of England. So I had come across some site, and they had all this information on it. I started reading it, and that's how I started defeating the courts myself. But I guess it all started, if you go back and start looking at the Uniform Commercial Code, it was written back then, and it's a commerce code, and they were using the courts to fleece the American people to pay the debt that couldn't be paid at the end of World War I back to these bankers of England who drew us into this war. So that's what I had discovered.
Well, that is a good part of it, but the battle against the grand jury started at the very conception of our country. But you're right on. And a lot of the problems, especially developing for the process of the UCC to come in play, really started in the 1860s and then the 14th Amendment that came around in the 1860s, and also the changing of person to a corporation. And of course, they were trying to get the banks going there, and I think it was President Jackson that really shot them down and kept them at bay for quite some time, and then they started to get leeway towards the end of the century and coming into the beginning of the 20th century, so early 1900s. And I know the Bar Association came into being. The American Bar Association, I believe, started in New York around 1909. But the English Bar Association, the British Bar Association, had been around in our country from the very beginning. And they have been the culprits that caused all these problems and made the assaults on our nation, and then again they eventually developed the American Bar Association. So, but yeah, I think your history is pretty right on. But there is a lot to it, and there are a lot of, you know, they've been planning this for a long time. So anyway, let me move on to the next caller. We got a four or five more callers. Well, got three more callers.
Quick follow up. In support of what you said, yeah, Jackson did kill the first central bank, and you're right that in the 1800s they were trying to violate the common law, because I think it was somewhere in the late 1800s we used to allow in the court system we used to allow them to judge the law as well as the facts of the law, and the reason being
right.
is to keep unconstitutional laws from being written. So you're absolutely right.
Right, and people have got to be the rulers. The judges can't be the rulers of those things. It's got to be the people, and the people have the authority of nullification, especially when it comes to statutes, which are no laws at all. So, all right, let me go to the next person. If you want to try again, you can raise your hand again because we're running late, and I want to try to get the other few people in. So,
John,
let me go to – all right, Jim, thank you. All right, let me go to 518-943. 518-943, you got the mic. 518-943. All right, let me go to 303-841. 303-841. You should be hearing, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Janice Bleason, Colorado.
How you doing, Janice from Colorado?
I'm doing good. I have a procedural question to ask you, and it's about turning in the filings to the courts. And uh-huh. our entire group is in disagreement how that's done. So I wanted to ask you the process, and also ask you, a gentleman in the group says if we turn it into the county court, I'm sorry, county clerk as
yeah,
well.
Let me explain. We do have,
okay.
if you go up onto the website, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on the jurist orientation, You come all the way down to the bottom of that page, and then you'll see a link that says how to create a grand jury in your county. When you click on that, there'll be a video, and the video explains everything in detail, and it shows you all the paperwork in that video. And also right next to that video is a zip download with all of the paperwork. So that should be the first place you should look and listen to the video, and it goes step by step. Now, also, we have questions and answers. I'm pretty sure I put this up on the old website. It'll be on the new website, too. We do have a page up there called Q&A, and we do cover this kind of a question. And I think I spent like 30 minutes on this on one case, so that could be helpful also. But the bottom line is this. You need to do the paperwork and have the paperwork written up pretty much the way we have it. You just have to add in your specific information, your state, your location, your county, and so on. And also the seal, the process of the seal, we have that on the website, and we show you how to make the seal to keep it unified with everyone else. And it identifies common law, which is called, it's in Latin, natural law, by the grace of God, is in the center. And then your county and your state and 1215 in the center. As far as where you apply the paperwork, now, this is very important because we really research the best way to do this. Excuse me. And you don't want to do it. You don't want to deliver the paper by hand. People have done that, and it causes nothing but problems. Trust me. You do not want to do that. You want to deliver the paper first to the county clerk. You do it by mail. You send these two at the same time. You send one to the county clerk, and you send one to the court clerk, the chief court clerk. So you should be able to go online, put in your county and your court, and you'll find the whatever the court is. It's probably called the Supreme Court or whatever it's called in your state, and you'll see who the chief court clerk is. That's the person you send it to. You mail it to them with a certified return slip. It's the green card. You get the return card back with a signature on it, and you'll get a certification number. And you do one to the chief clerk and one to the county clerk. It's going to the county clerk for the purpose to be filed for a memorial as a notice to all men. There is a file on demand that's on top of that gives them the law and what they need to be doing. And also on the top of the paper, it shows them where this needs to be filed, which should be filed under miscellaneous. Now, the one that goes to the court clerk, they also get a file on demand on top of it, but they get a letter, and the letter will tell them that someone will be contacting you in the next few weeks in order to gain access into the courts. You'll need to be introduced to whoever is responsible to show you the room, custodian. And you want to get access into the court to get into the grand jury room, access to the grand jury room. And then when you're in there, you'll want the custodian to take you down to the mail room to find out where the grand jury mail is going to be going and to make sure you got the address right and whatever the mailbox number is, or just grand jury is good enough, that's fine. Where do we pick it up? And all of that is spelled out in the paperwork and in the video. Now, you'll get return cards and you stick them in a file. There's a good chance that the county clerk will probably send it back to you. Most of them do. Just put it in a file. Don't worry about it. You've done due diligence. You've made your notice. They broke the law. And when you get in, you're going to bring it back to them. Once you get access into the courts and they understand who you are, you're going to bring it back down to them, and you're going to tell them they're going to file it. And they will file it then. You don't have to make a big thing about it. You just get it filed, and it's done. Now, the court, it's being filed also for a memorial. It's just letting them know that the common law grand jury is here, and keep it on your file for a memorial. And we're going to be down soon to get access. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do the filing until you have a few counties doing this with you. We suggest 5. In New York, we waited till we had 17. So, you'll have to figure that out, how many counties you want to do it. You want to get some support, and then you file them. Now, everyone else after that should just file. Okay?
Okay. All righty, got it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. All right, who's next? Let's try 518-943 again, see if they're back in. 518-943, can you hear me? Is Okay, I guess not. Let's go to 386761. We're going to be shutting down in about 6 minutes, so we only got a couple of minutes left. 386761. Okay, let's try 434566.
Hi, John.
434. How you doing? Jim again?
Hi, it's okay. Yeah, it's me again. Hey,
now, hold on 1 minute. Let me open up 904 first. I'll leave you on, but hang on a minute. 904-704, are you there?
Yeah, this is Joaquin.
Yeah, go right ahead. You got a comment or a question? Jim, you're open too, but we only got a couple of minutes. But go ahead, 904.
Yeah, John. Good night, everybody. I'm here on San Agustin, Florida, and we have Marion County that the documents were admitted. And my question is, when you're going to post that on the website so we can make it that breaking news in Facebook and online and everywhere? Thank you.
Which documents do you have?
In Marion County, they filed the documents in court, and they were accepted, according to Hagan Smith.
Okay, I'll talk with Hagan and we'll work something out. I was talking with Hagan. There's some good exchange of dialogue between him and some people. We'll be getting that up onto the website as soon as I get that information. I'll get more details from Hagan, and we will post everything that comes out of Florida on that. That's great news if that's what's happening, so we appreciate it. It'll be soon. As soon as we can get that info, we'll post it, and we will announce it.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you. All right. Jim, go right ahead. I think you're the last caller now, and you got a few minutes.
I just wanted to say, John, thank you very much for doing what you're doing. You're very articulate in explaining what you're doing, and caller earlier was very argumentative. You kept a level head, and I probably wouldn't have in that situation, but I don't think he understood
a lot. Well, sometimes, that's the problem. I don't think he understood, and I wanted to, and I got to appreciate that. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know what our website is. Maybe he's starting to learn, and he doesn't understand. And I'm just not going to get into the politics of things, and I'm definitely not going to comment on actual cases that are out there. Not because I'm in the system myself, but just because it's not right. I don't know what happened, and obviously, if someone is being, prejudiced against, obviously that's evil, that's wrong. Of course, we disagree with that, and we certainly don't expect that that's going to happen amongst us, we the people. And I think when you get 25 people in a room and you get someone that is obnoxious or prejudiced and they just don't stop, then they'll just get rid of them, just throw them out. The grand jury has the authority to throw anyone out of their group if they agree. Same thing with the trial jury. You just get rid of these people. And then we'll kind of mark them to know not to call them back again because, we don't want obnoxious people. Of course, if they were to call us up and ask to be put back on to give another chance, we'll give it to them because it's the honorable thing to do. Maybe they've changed their thinking and is going to behave, And so we'll give them the benefit of a doubt,
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have a very good feel for that. Now, I got a real important question. As you brought these grand juries into these courthouses, have you seen a marked change in the disposition of judges and lawyers?
Oh, the people we're talking to? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. These people never shut up, and they come up with all their BS. And they won't answer questions, and they give you BS answers and all that stuff. And now we haven't gotten into court yet, mind you, but these people now we're talking to, boy, we intimidate them. We can see that we're intimidating them. They don't know how to take us. They are nervous, and they do answer every single question. So we got 90 seconds left, so if you got anything else.
No, that's all. I'm just, I'm hoping this goes a full gambit and we straighten these courts out. And we had some callers on our show the other night, and I don't know if you were part of it, but people have lost
millions and millions of dollars worth of properties because these courts are, these lawyers are getting together with these courts and they're filing these false papers and deeds to these properties and stealing it from these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're
rampant.
Familiar. We know. We're familiar with this. We know a lot of, we've got some people that have come to us with their court cases on this, and we can only give them a little time because we're busy with this. And they'll get restitution once the people get back and justice is back in. And we'll take care of that. But meanwhile, we're about ready to shut down in a few seconds. So again, I'm thankful for everybody that's come to our call tonight. Hopefully we're going to build up our ranks now that we're on Blog Talk Radio. People can get the word out to others out there what we're doing. We've come. The apathy is over. The lead-in song that we have is called The Apathy Is Over, and that's why we chose that. So hopefully people will come and realize that if they participate, we can put an end to apathy. All right, with that, God bless all, Lord willing. We'll see you next Monday. We'll be back. We'll see you then.
God bless, John.
All right, good night.
Good night.